what's poppin'? The Drew and Mike Show is rolling for the Wednesday downloaders in the DealsNetD.com studios. I hope Facebook did not catch me adjusting my awards back here.
What are you doing over there?
I haven't had time to take them down yet. They're very valuable. They're very gentle and fragile, and I have to be careful to remove them. So in the meantime, I've had to leave them up there, not by choice.
Oh, you know what? There's two. I didn't realize there's two other ones you can put up there, too, sitting over there. Best of Detroit. Is that Real Detroit and Metro Times? Yeah, go get those immediately. That's funny. They've been hanging up down here. We didn't even realize that we've had awards in the background all along.
Well, I didn't know they made ninth place ribbons.
Ninth place? Yeah. Where's your ninth place ribbon, Drew? A lot of remodeling done down here today. I don't know if anyone can see behind me. I've repositioned the Death Wish coffee flag, the banner which we fly proudly.
But the neon clock incredible. Unfortunately, you can't see the neon, can you?
Well, it gets a little washed out. Let's see if I turn off these lights here. Does that show up a little better there?
A little bit, but not. It's beautiful. I mean, it's really cool.
If I turn off the neon, you kind of see the face.
That's like an alarm clock. Woo-hoo!
Kind of see the face a little bit better there.
It's a gorgeous clock, and I guess it's a sample that was made as a potential item to sell. Personally, I think I'm going to keep the sample, and we're not going to sell them. Because it's too cool, and I don't know how many people. What would it cost for people to buy it?
I don't know if we've settled on a price point, but I asked Brandon what he thought he would pay, and the price point is high. Brandon predicted the cost of it. But, I mean, if people want them.
What would Marcus pay? Let's find out what Marcus would pay, and I think that, let's let Marcus price it.
But if you have a bar or a man cave.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I'm so disappointed the neon doesn't come out, because the neon is so cool.
Yeah.
The Drew and Mike clock, ladies and gentlemen, which those on Facebook Live can see. And the rest of you will have to imagine. I'll tweet it out.
There's also...
For your information, that watch costs $6,000.
There's also these metal signs.
I feel like signs?
I feel like a weatherman presenting it right now. Yeah, the one hanging up right there, and then there's one hanging up
there.
Oh,
yeah. Wow.
We haven't decided if we're going to sell those yet, but those are in a much better...
Where did these people get the time to make these signs?
That's why we got samples made, so we could play that drop.
Those are... That price point's a lot cheaper.
Seriously, what would they cost?
What a stupid present.
What would those
cost? $10?
Oh, no, probably $25. They're metal, though. Feel how hard it is. I think you picked the price point again.
Well, anyway.
You're not doing a good job selling products.
Yeah, it sounds super hard.
Selling products are open to
I never think people will pay what they pay for stuff. I'm just amazed. I'm
T-shirts all day long, though.
Very pleased. Yeah, we've had amazing merch sales. I got to tell you, we've sold a lot more merch here than we did at Riff.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why, yeah. But the first year we had, I think, $80,000 in merch sales.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second year we had about 65, and it's been I guess, a little less than that since.
I think people have products.
I think maybe we need to take a break from merch and then come flying out.
I didn't even know that existed.
But we'll see. If people are interested in the clock, are we talking about like $150 or something to buy it?
Approximately, around there, yeah. Depending on the size. That thing's huge, though. It comes off the wall about 6 inches. I measured.
Would you put your penis up against
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yeah.
Are you more than 7 inches?
$150.
That's heavy duty, though, man.
That's a lot of merch. But for Christmas, I don't know, for the true fan, I mean, it's great.
It's a cool clock.
Man cave or woman cave type of thing.
I wanted to give myself the best 40th birthday present ever.
I'm going to go to Facebook and see what the feedback is.
Hey, let me ask you something. When the Academy Awards nominations came out and everybody was livid because there was no female director nominated.
Yeah.
Was it the movie Greta that they were?
No, Greta Gerwig was the director for the movie Little Women.
Okay.
By the way, how bad were the Academy Awards this year?
Was that drop really low?
I was going to say the Academy Awards were as bad as that drop.
Is it recorded badly?
Brandon's making a funny face. I don't know. Play it again, Brandon.
By the way, how bad were the Academy Awards this year?
Just seems out of phase.
What is up with that?
I don't know.
Facebook Live yesterday sounded like shit. I was just so bummed listening to it because we were overmodulated, and Trudy sounded fine, Brandon sounded fine. I'm like, what the fuck? I was just...
Turn my headphones up!
I was so bummed.
Let's see. What do people say? Right, let us know if it sounds like crap today. Did you listen all the way through? Because I said we adjusted something during it.
I never heard it get better, but oh, I did listen to the show on iTunes, and the show on iTunes sounded fine.
Yeah, it always does.
Oh, boy. I shudder to ask. How many people on Facebook Live?
I don't know.
Are you okay?
While you're looking at...
Less than 200. But more than 180.
Deathwish Coffee, the world's strongest coffee, is a serious brew that will punch you in the face with double caffeine of your typical cup of coffee. And Deathwish Coffee has been such a success. We've gotten, I think it's 430 promo codes. So while you may feel excoriated for not listening to Facebook Live or not for not watching Facebook Live, honestly, it really doesn't matter that much. I made way too big a deal about it. People now think the show is a total failure.
I know.
That I'm a big baby that yells at the audience.
Derek just wrote, he said, I'm afraid he's about to yell at all of us.
I know. People check in to say they checked in just not to get yelled at or to help the Facebook Live numbers. It's not that important. It was important for about like 36 hours. It was really important. And then I just realized how stupid it was. Anyway, I'm glad you people are here, the ones that are here, even though.
Whiner.
Only 100, not even 200 people. What the fuck? I saw a podcast that, I don't know why, but they're on YouTube. Mm-hmm. They show live on YouTube. 4 views.
Oh, boy, I'd end it.
That was...
I'm thinking about ending it at 200, but 4.
That was a week after it was out. So we may only have 180-some people, but when you look at the views, you know, we were getting 10,000, 7,500... Yesterday was down, I think, 4,700. But generally, I mean, there are some. I don't want people to think we're a total.
We'll do it
failure.
Live.
Well, Deathwish Coffee.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Has been a great success for us. They're very happy. I think they're going to re up too, which is even more exciting. Cold brew fans, over 300 milligrams of caffeine, if you can handle it. You can get this badassery all over Metro Detroit in your favorite grocery stores. Just yell Drew15 at the clerk, and they might give you a discount. I'm not sure if that works. Prefer to shop online? Head over to deathwishcoffee.com/Drew for access to all of our coffee products, including killer merch. And while you're there, use promo code Drew15 at checkout to save 15% on your entire order. Deathwish Coffee, high-octane fuel for the human machine. Hope people are reordering, too, when they run out.
Yeah.
I mean, that part, that's Deathwish's job.
You did, Brandon.
My job is to get people to make the first order.
Yeah, because Kristen drank all mine, so I had to order some more. And I don't know if you don't like that much caffeine. I don't know.
Grow some fucking balls, baby.
People like yeah. Get
There's
some
my
balls,
girl.
Really, get with it. By the way, the separated birth I thought was really good, and it's you know. At the outset, it sounds like it might be offensive to Brandon, but I don't think it is because there's a qualification made. It's
oh, wait, what?
Yeah, boy, here we go.
Okay, just relax. It's the son of the two Georgia guys that killed...
That is not flattering at all.
No. But it's...
the face?
He looks like a fat version of Brandon. Okay? And that's not... I want to pick on fat people. I'm not picking on Brandon. I think it's, you know... Honestly,
wait a minute.
What it says is that if a guy lost a lot of weight, he'd look like Brandon. Or if Brandon gained a lot of weight, he'd look like that. And, that's not that bad. If you gained that much weight, I don't think that'd be the worst thing to look like.
But isn't his mugshot, isn't his mouth like agape, like, duh, in the mugshot?
He doesn't look like Einstein in terms of brain power.
He does not look like Brandon.
I don't know. Check it out. I think, I'm not going to say outright doppelganger. But the only way we
where
find
did this
out,
pop in your head? I'm hoping somebody emailed this and you said, hey, I think I'm going
to
relay this information.
No, someone sent
you
it to me.
You didn't come up with this yourself, did you?
Someone sent it to me, and I, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, my God.
Brandon's hairline is not receding that bad. I mean, that guy's got a nasty receding hairline.
I don't really have hair.
He's older than Brandon, though. I mean,
I wear a lot of hats, but I'm not bald like that dude.
No, it wasn't about the hairline. It was just about the face.
Your
and
forehead's not that big.
Personality matches, I would say.
You know what? It is the same, the beard color. That's where it is, the beard color.
Well, it's what I think that guy is?
A handsome man with a beautiful soul and a nicer penis.
Wait, no, yeah, not at that, all. Yeah, by that guy far nicer penis. Guy.
By the way, the Bill Maher, Rose McGowan thing.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Maher. It's interesting how people get so upset about this and not about that. I mean, the hypocrisy is just amazing. But Rose McGowan was angry at Bill Maher. So she said that when she was a guest on the show, he leaned over and whispered to her. It sounded gross, by the way, his breath on her ear, the way she described it. It just sounded so gross. And he said, "My parents didn't bless me with a beautiful face, but I do have a huge cock."
What a great
but
line.
But he's got a big dick.
What a great line.
And, you know, are there a lot of women who are into guys who have big units but are not otherwise attractive? Is that a thing?
I mean, in the videos I watch, yeah.
Is there? Okay. I'm going to sound really dumb here, but I'm going to go ahead and ask. Is there a nude video of Billie Eilish having sex out there?
What?
Is there? Or is it a lookalike? Or what's the deal?
No,
I don't know what you're talking about.
I bumped into Pornhub yesterday.
It's crazy.
You're seeing all this Adobe stuff where they kind of superimpose someone's. There's no way.
It looked like her. I'm just saying.
Well, let's see.
I just hit a link by accident, and the next thing you know, Billie Eilish was getting nailed, and this guy had a huge cock. I mean, he was huge. Oh, sorry, Crystal.
This is a Crystal porno alert.
Ooh la la.
Just saying.
There's some porn coming.
Skanky, disgusting porn is coming soon, Crystal.
Hands up, Crystal.
Oh,
fucking shoot.
I didn't even know that existed.
I figured.
Is it Billy?
No.
I don't know.
I thought she did a good job.
I think it's a deep fake.
Ah.
Brandon?
It's got to be a deep fake.
Well, have you watched it?
Well, go to the Fappening. Go to the Fappening. They would have it first. Oh, my God. It does look like
it. I'm pretty sure it's her. A deep fake.
I'm pretty sure it's her. Just like I saw that.
Well, is Phineas's dick in it? Because if Phineas's dick isn't in it, then it's not going to be her.
It's not Phineas. He wouldn't do stuff like that. Plus,
they've only done it a couple times. For people who get all upset about that, they've only had sex.
You're such a rookie. You're such an amateur with porn. Dude, if you look any girl that you want to, you're going to find them superimposed on somebody.
I'm not an expert on it, Brandon. You are somebody who has really gone deep with the porn, especially the male porn stars. Mm-hmm. I, on the other hand, I'm such a rookie that I just hit a link by accident.
Handjobs magazine just stopped publishing.
I wish you would do your homework when it would come to this porno stuff, because I think that just throwing it out there that there is a legit Billie Eilish sex tape, I think it's dangerous.
I asked Brandon. I'm not kidding you. When I first saw it, I was as sure that it was Billie Eilish as I was when I saw the Georgia Sun. I was like, "That's Brandon." It was just weird the way it, you know, sometimes.
It's called Nude and Rude, directed by Carl Stanion.
You get these doppelgangers, and holy crap.
Name a chick that you like.
A famous chick. Well, let's just do Scarlett Johansson.
I don't think I need to be humiliated and excoriated for just seeing Billie Eilish having sex and being surprised.
I'm a weirdo and kind of a pervert, I guess.
All right. So I'm going to do this again so I can learn you something, okay? Hold on.
I'll learn you something.
But possibly away from her desk. Porn is coming soon. Crystal! Get to your desk and turn it down. This is a Crystal porno alert.
All right, so I just want to show you now, really quickly,
up there.
This video of ScarJo.
Oh, wow, that looks just like her.
I had no idea there was a video of her having sex.
Wow, look at how hung Colin Jost is.
Okay, I'm just trying to show a point here, guys. We got to be.
She looks great.
Just know your porno, okay? It's like fake news. You're thinking of fake porn.
So, who's the guy she's with?
It's got to be Colin Jost.
It's just a random actor, porn actor. They superimpose Scar Jo's. And plus, we know that's not her because she'd be farting all the time because she farts.
All I want is proof that that's not Billie Eilish. Kind of like asking for proof that there was no news.
Well, Stephen Jones on Facebook has a great idea just to ask Mr. Skin, because he would know if they're...
Come on.
All right, we'll pass it along.
Why do you not want to go down this road, Brandon? Is it because you respect Phineas and Billie Eilish so much and you just don't want it to exist? Or do you respect the industry of porn and therefore deepfakes really bother you?
Deepfakes suck. I don't like them. They lead you down an incorrect path. They play with your emotions. That's not the girl that you want to look at. That's a fake. Well, I just think that this girl, I mean, imagine that that's the worst thing about being a famous chick. If you Brandon, Google your name, I don't think plus
you can be
nude.
You can't be objective, Brandon, because first of all, your adoration, your dedication to porn, especially male porn stars, and also you love Billie Eilish and Phineas. I mean, even
I think she's very talented. Yeah.
I think, honestly, when you first examined the idea of them being together, I think you thought it was really, I think you were kind of moved by it. You thought it was cool. Upon reflection, it probably was a little upsetting.
I don't think they'd be together.
Where's the Angelina Jolie drop, by the way?
I don't think they'd be together.
Brandon's not even playing the drop. He's so upset about the idea.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
I'm so in love with my brother right now.
and my audio is all jacked up.
What? Why are the drops?
Show's off the rails.
Why are the drops so low?
I'm so in love with my brother right now.
Anybody know?
You just had the volume down. That's why.
Anybody know where the burps were from yesterday?
What
just,
burps?
There were two burps.
No, it's from me.
They're probably false starts.
What does that mean?
So, with doing
Brandon
things remotely,
offside.
there's like a little bit of a lag.
But it was just a burp. What, the whole drop wouldn't play?
No,
I accidentally
it.
Like double clicked, and it was a whole fiasco.
Oh boy,
things are a little different because of quarantining.
We're gonna jump on. Do we still have the number for the hotel where the murderers were?
Yeah, it's one of two hotels. So yeah.
Okay. The Hall Financial Hotline. We're gonna open that shortly. First though, I did want to mention our friend Luke Nowacki, who's on No BS News this week.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to see Luke in person with a beard, looking not like Luke, check out No BS News. It's a great show. Otherwise too, Charlie, he is just fearless to take the show to American Coney Island.
Yeah.
I can't imagine why anyone would do that right now, but he did. And it was a little hinky at times, but it was a good show.
The internet speed there was slower than it was here before it got fixed by Charlie.
But he doesn't think about that.
No, I know.
I want to do it. I'm doing it.
It's our job.
And some people like that. We need people like that.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Anyway, Luke Nowacki was there, and Luke is hard at work. I mean, some might think, oh, what's an investment? This is a crazy time. The market is down thousands. What happened? thousands of
I'll
points.
I'll tell you after the Luke read.
And so there's an opportunity. If you have cash on the side, or if you have some losers that maybe you want to sell and you want to buy some, I know Luke was talking about a few healthcare stocks. There are people making money in this market. And that's why people like Luke exist, because they can't wait to find opportunities, even in a bad market or a down market or a temporarily down market. Call Luke Nowacki. You might want to consider a financial plan for your future, too, so you don't outlive your money. Call Luke for all these things at 248-663-4748. You can email him at lnowacki@pinnaclewealthstrategies.com. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned other entities and or marketing names, product services, reps here, are independent of Royal Alliance Associates. And with that, I want to just quickly finish Hall Financial, where they are saving people money like crazy on refis right now, as interest rates have been low for so long. And in some cases, people are able to get even lower rates. If you're anywhere near 4%, you should call, at least find out, you know, can you do this? Because you can probably save money with a refi. Or if you want to take money out of your house, if liquidity is an issue, for so many people it is, go to David Hall Mortgage. Is it hallmortgage.com or David Hall Mortgage?
David Hall Mortgage.
.com/Drew and Mike. It'd be nice to have that in the copy. But anyway, or you can go to our webpage, click the link, and fill out the online form. They'll get back to you, or call 248-308-5000. Hall Financial. Lower payments. Boy, they get lower payments for some people. Better options. More personal attention. They are an equal housing lender. NMLS number 1467435. Hall Financial.
Dave. So I started
left. Is Zot not on today? Oh,
yeah, they're there.
Okay,
they're in there.
Okay. Oh, boy. Yeah, boy.
So I started laughing because Hightower, who worked with us over at Rift.
Oh, yeah.
Love him. Great guy.
He does some great work. And anytime I hear from him, it's always something very funny. It's some silly thing. You know, some guy talking about how beautiful the Christmas tree is, and there's some guy with a rod in the mirror.
or gay porn on the TV. Like, it'll just be that meme. It'll be like, hey, I just put my Christmas tree up, and you see a nice Christmas tree, but then on the TV, just some raunchy gay porn.
It's so
funny. That's all I ever get from Hightower, hidden dicks, hidden gay porn.
Yeah.
The new one has been the meme of the really big hung black guy.
Oh, that, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure people know who
everybody knows
yeah,
about him.
I don't even know the origin of it. I don't care, but he He's been sending me so many of them. The one he just sent is...
If he knocked on the door, I'd let him in. I feel like I know the guy.
The big hung guy? I know. He's everywhere. So he sent one. It's a salute to healthcare. Blue Angels fly over southeastern Michigan.
Which was really cool today. 21
he
minutes.
He replaced one of the planes. With
Can you point that at the camera?
I can. Okay, no, I don't want to get kicked off of, Facebook. But let's just say the contrails, is that what they're called? The contrails,
I think so, yeah.
Directly out of his penis.
You mean the chemtrails?
Chemtrail, yeah.
It's so ridiculous.
Conspiracy theorist.
But very funny. Someone sent me the Blue Angels flight plan, which was available yesterday.
Yeah, I looked at it. It's cool.
In case I could get it to Clark some way. Clark is so all over that. Clark had it 3 days ago, I guarantee it. But yeah, that was nice. They flew over 21 minutes today, and people took a break and enjoyed the Blue Angels. And I didn't see any...
I want to be a pilot.
I didn't see a lot of people getting together in big crowds, so apparently it worked out okay. Let's call the hotel where the murderers were.
Okay.
Great idea this was to, you know, some guy who clearly was enraged because some security guard at Dollar Store had the audacity to tell his daughter to wear a mask, which was the company policy that he was asked to enforce. And for this audacity... she spit in his face. The mother told him off. They left and got the father and the son. And when they told them the story, like anyone, they were appalled and felt they had to go back to the store and shoot the guy in the head. And these people who completely understood that, you know, this is just a natural reaction, and got in a car, a rent a car, and drove the father to Houston, where he could check in at this lovely hotel and live the rest of his life.
They split off.
The son went to Bay City. They've both been arrested, but great idea, though, to go to this. What's the name of the hotel?
Studio 6 Motel in Houston.
Yeah, this guy could have lived a wonderful life there. Houston, oh, they went to Walmart Houston, and got him clothes, too.
That's right.
Houston, Texas. What a big city in Texas. Lots of big buildings in Houston, Texas. Lots of people.
We're sorry, you have reached a number that has been disconnected.
Oh, they've already closed one.
Oh, come on.
People come from all around the world to go to Houston, to go to Houston. Houston, Texas. Houston, Texas. Lots of big buildings in Houston, Texas.
Houston, we have a problem. Houston, West Chase. Houston, for directions to the hotel, press 1. Houston. For reservations, press 2. For the front desk, press 3. To reach
To learn about what personal information we collect and how we use it, please see our privacy policy at motel6.com.
The Holiday Inn.
Oh, come on.
Texas.
Hi, this is Drew from the Drew and Mike Show, and we were calling to find out, is this the wonderful hotel that hosted the Larry Teague Jr., the murderer from Michigan?
No, sir.
It's not? Because it was your chain, and we were asked to apologize on behalf of Michigan and the family for...
Okay, hold on. What's the name he said?
Larry Teague Jr. He had murdered a man at the family Dollar Store because somebody told his daughter not to wear a mask, or that she had to wear a mask.
Uh-huh.
And then he got in a rent-a-car with some friends, drove down to Houston, and checked into your hotel. And I guess he was arrested there, probably because you guys told on him. I'm not sure.
Which is good. I'm glad you did tell on him.
Thank you for doing that.
Thank you for narking on him.
Hello?
Yeah. Larry Teague Jr. was his name.
Okay. Larry...
T-E-A...
No, sir. We don't have any...
No, we
don't have any customers.
Is it? Did you check under T E A G U E?
He's not there now.
Yeah, he's not there now. No, he's been arrested. Thanks for staying up with the news. Anyway, he murdered someone in Michigan, and then he checked into your hotel, and then he was arrested there. We were calling. We've been asked to apologize for the family.
Oh, okay. But I don't know what you're talking about. But I don't know. My manager, he's not here. Today is like my first day right now.
It's your first day?
It's your first day.
Really?
Yeah.
How's that going?
So, yeah, I don't know anything about that guy.
It's my first day.
Yeah, well, this would have been a number of days ago, and yeah. I guess maybe it wasn't big news down there. I don't know. Do you follow the news normally?
Nope.
You don't?
Not at all.
Really?
Have you heard about coronavirus?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a pandemic right now, and there's a lot of things going on.
I guess he's pumping somebody.
I mean, just seems like, you know, you might want to know. There's a fugitive, for example, at the hotel where you're now on your first day. It's a good thing to know. It's crazy.
Can I have a second for you, sir?
Are you sure it wasn't your hotel, or is it your first day and so you have no clue?
Sir, I don't know anything.
You don't know anything?
Well, sir, today's my first day over here.
It's my first day.
It was pretty good getting a job in the middle of the coronavirus.
Yeah, how did you get a job, by the way? A lot of our listeners are asking us, please find out from this gentleman.
And where are you calling from? Say it again.
I said a lot of people in our audience are asking, how did this gentleman get a job?
Oh, boy.
Good job.
This is also going to be your last day if I have anything to do about it.
Should we call back because
we
were disconnected? I think we were disconnected. I'm positive.
Hello? She hung up. Great, she hung up.
Was that a wild drop there at the end, or was that him getting animated? It was kind of a loud drop in the last 20 seconds. Or was him?
The person you called has hung up.
What?
Learn about what personal information we collect and how we use it, please see our privacy policy at motelsbooks.com. Texas, lots of big buildings in Houston, Texas.
Lots of people live in Houston, Texas. Lots of people live in Houston, Texas. It's my first day.
What's the chance of that?
So lying.
Houston, Texas. Maybe this isn't a big story down there. Houston, seems like it would be.
Hello?
Yo?
Houston, Texas.
Oh, fuck.
Just doing some work here.
All right, a little lighter on the Matt Farley, please. Let's call back. We've been disconnected again. And I'm wondering if there's a problem with the phone. Maybe we should contact the phone company or someone.
So what do you do for a living?
Do you think it was that hotel?
Yeah,
pretty sure.
I really do.
California consumers, to learn about what personal information we collect and how we use it, please see our privacy policy at motel6.com.
I just shared with the Drew and Mike fans, by the way.
Uh-oh.
Numbers going up.
I didn't know.
Those of you just joining were calling after being disconnected from the hotel.
Why don't we just try to book the room that he stayed in?
We'll do it live.
That's a thought. As if he's going to know that.
Thank you for calling me through TikTok. Can I help you?
Yes, we were disconnected. We were chatting with a new man on his first day at work there. We're chatting with some gentleman at his first day on the job and trying to get some information, and we were disconnected.
Sorry, sir. I can't give you any information.
Is there something wrong with the phone, though? I didn't know if we should call the phone company. We were disconnected twice.
I guess he's pumping somebody.
You having problems with the phone over there? I know it's your first day. We thought maybe we'd take the initiative to look into the problem.
Can you do me a small favor? Stop calling over here.
Oh.
What if we want to book a room?
Okay.
Huh? Boy, your voice really changed there.
Yeah.
Is this a big problem?
Are we in trouble? We were
trying to find out, you know, how your first day was going, how you got the job. It seemed like an opportunity for the audience.
Who are you?
Drew.
Why you want to know?
Who are you?
Because you got a job in the middle of a pandemic, and it's fabulous, and you're doing a great job over there. You're staying up on things. And we just want to find out what your strategy was, because a lot of people
are looking
for work. Did you know someone there at the hotel?
Hello?
Chill out. Keep quiet.
Wait, don't hang up.
We got to call the phone company. Now, what was it you were waiting to tell me?
Who, me?
Laughing about? Did we ever cover that?
Yeah, it was the big, it was the Hightower text.
Oh, right. Sorry.
That's why I was laughing so hard. Well, that went nowhere.
I guess this call's over.
Yeah, this call is over.
Terrible. Was he separated?
Stay on this phone and don't hang up for me. I have plenty of energy to drive over there.
Did you think he was separated at birth at first with?
I guess he's pumping something.
A little bit. Did you hear his voice change?
Yes.
He really got hot.
Yeah.
Whoa, let's stop talking with this guy.
Buddy works in customer service.
I wanted to give an update on something very important. Yesterday, we talked about the now infamous Larry Sorensen Mega Man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the ugly confrontation on Facebook.
Yeah, take me back to yesterday.
Yeah.
Take me back, Kyle Bogey. What happened at 97.1?
We're talking to Kyle, by the way.
Oh,
hoping that we can get a podcast going. Anyway, So if you know Bogey, encourage him. Mega Man apparently was fired over that.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, that's what the email said. No, I don't know how accurate the email is.
But wait. Mega Man was still employed in 2014 at the Fan?
No, not the Fan. He was somewhere else.
Oh, wherever he was. Yeah. Okay, I see.
And I noticed on his Facebook page that he doesn't seem to have any reference to that particular job.
What?
I know. It's weird. It's crazy. Hmm. Maybe we should Google
Mega Man
blown out?
Yeah. Hmm. So what's he doing now, though? I thought that was the update.
He's got some weird job where he is doing some kind of broadcasting, I suspect to... I think it's a very niche show.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad he's doing great.
Man, this guy's radio career is shot.
There's another email.
The exchange was so bizarre.
You know, there's another email I got today that was really good. Oh, well, there was one about Kroger ending their $2 hero pay.
Oh, yeah.
Which apparently a lot of people are really angry about this.
Okay.
Which I thought, I don't know if I'd be angry about it, but anyway.
Please tell me it's the people that were actually getting the hero pay, not just someone on their behalf?
No, it's always people on their behalf.
Oh, it is people on their behalf.
Yes.
Okay.
And so this person sent me sort of a rundown of this hero pay thing for Kroger and highlighted a couple things. One was that the union announcement that, when they got it, it was a way to help these essential workers who are putting their lives on the line be compensated properly. And with the whole putting your lives on the line thing, I understand it. I'm not trying to knock the workers. But it reminded me a little bit of the overuse of PTSD.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Putting your lives on the line. I think about a police officer entering a home where there's a domestic violence call and somebody's waving a gun around. That's putting your life on the line. I don't know. Am I being too harsh here? I hope not.
I mean, I guess it's kind of semantical if they're putting their lives on the line, but you know, a lot of people are scared of the virus, and you know, they still went to work at Kroger and Costco and all the places.
Seemed a little too strong for my taste, but that's me personally. Then the emailer highlighted that Kroger and the United Food and Commercial Workers International Union were also calling for grocery workers to be designated as first responders.
The union.
Or emergency personnel.
Well, I don't know about that.
First responders.
Yeah. When it comes to the hero pay, you know, if they were in a different industry, they would have gotten laid off and then they would have gotten their unemployment plus the additional money.
So, yeah, that's true. They would have gotten the extra unemployment money.
I'm still not sure I'd call them a first responder.
I wouldn't call them a first responder, no.
I just thought that was... Anyway,
putting their lives on the line? I guess to a small extent.
I'd love to get some feedback on that. You know, yesterday I was asking people to give me feedback on... I was listening to the Dylan and the Springsteen song, and I had concluded that, well, it seems like a lot of people just don't end up with the love of their lives.
Dylan!
I didn't get a lot of reaction to that for some reason. Maybe it's too controversial. But I'd love to hear what people think about that. And you can always email us.
Hi, I'm Dylan. I'm an alcoholic.
Drew@DrewAndMikePodcast.com. Of course, Mark@DrewAndMikePodcast.com. Brandon. I know people send a lot of drop requests to Brandon or drop ideas and things like that. You get much email, Brandon?
I get it a lot. Yeah, I get a whole bunch of stuff. You know, mostly it'll be links or people asking me the origin of a drop or something like that.
Yeah, Brandon's really the best guy to ask about all that stuff, the drop-related stuff. By the way, our drops are so killer. I listen to so many podcasts, and I listen to a lot of radio shows, too, that are either the podcast version or they become podcasts. And I swear, I don't think any show has the drop capacity or timeliness of our show. I don't think anyone can even touch us. I mean, seriously.
I would agree, yeah.
I know. I read about Fred Norris all the time and how fabulous he is on the Howard Stern Show. And Fred is really good, but I just think we have way more drops. And they just fire. And people who come people who come in and visit are really amazed by it. I know.
Well, good for you.
A lot of people had a lot of fun standing over Brandon's shoulders or Mark's shoulders and watching the drops fly.
I'm non-braggadocious.
It's pretty amazing. I'm going to declare it the best. Until somebody tells me otherwise, I'm going to turn it into the noose at the protest. Prove to me that there's another show that does better drops, or prove to me that our show does not have the best production value in that respect.
You say that now until there's a burp.
Until there's a
burp or a false start. Or,
well, I wasn't used to hearing burps, though. Burps seem like they're new to podcast world. I don't remember many burps on the show.
It's not a burp, because what you have is you have Brandon playing drops and I'm playing drops, and so sometimes we'll start and then stop it because we realize we're stepping on something or someone talking.
Maybe there should be a little more caution with the drops.
I agree. No, I know.
Burps are a bummer. I wouldn't stop it. I think I'd just let it go.
Even if two are playing?
Two are playing at the same time?
Yeah.
But then why do I only hear the burp?
Well, plus,
because all I hear is the burp.
Well, the other aspect too is like a false fire, which happens more with the way Brandon's doing it, because of it just opens it up where I have to open it and then play it.
Should I? Well, maybe we don't have the best production value.
No,
in the show.
I don't.
Now that you bring that up,
I don't think so. I think we're the worst.
Trying
Can
to
we just lower some standards.
Well, good for you.
All right, let me go back to 185. Damn it. All right. Anyway.
You're super awesome.
There was another email. I finally remembered who it was. Joe sent me an email that is very funny. And it was about a concert he was at. Okay, what's coming now?
I can feel it. I'm just wondering. Oh, I'm scared to play anything.
And don't forget, tomorrow morning is your chance to win a pair of tickets to see this man live in concert.
I was waiting to hear what concert it was first.
Yeah. Joe sent me. Oh boy, he sends a lot of email. Why didn't I recognize his name more often? Anyway, he sent me an email about the concert he went to, and the opening act. And a female came up and started playing fiddle or something. Ew. And his friend goes, what's she doing up there? And immediately, you know, I think they both connected on, oh, my God, I can't believe a drop just spurted out of my mouth. And then apparently the person next to him said, she would not be my first choice. But somebody they didn't know.
What's he doing up there?
Which was kind of cool.
But did anybody say,
I do not want him coming out on stage unless he's hard.
I don't think anybody said that.
Oh, okay.
And then Joe also wrote about, I was going to send this to you, as I don't like to recommend books that I haven't finished, but since you read that article about Mark Lanegan, the Screaming Trees guy, and his 5G concerns, and his wife's, her head was on the screen in the back of
the two screens on the TV, so she ripped them all down. Yeah.
Because why they had, what did she think had happened? The outline of her head?
Yeah, I think that they were being videotaped or filmed and sent back. A lot of people believe that, though, with that TV boxes can see you.
I don't know.
You know what's weird is, I don't know why anybody would want to watch me watching TV. That sounds terribly boring.
Exactly. No, when I dig into that, I go, you know what? Go ahead, watch me. Really? Yeah. You got somebody who's going to spend all their time watching me watch TV. I think that's time poorly spent. Yeah. Now, I don't like the idea that someone has the capacity to do that. I understand that, but.
Well, what about all the Amazons and Google devices listening into your conversations? To once again, I don't think I have that many great conversations at home.
Yeah, that's what I've always, because I've had people say to me, you know, what happens if they are doing this? And they're going to be doing it anyway. They're doing it on your cell phone. That's exactly. Why when you scroll through anything, you come across things that's weird. I just talked about needing a new garden hose, and now here's one.
That's
an ad running for.
But that makes sense. That's targeted marketing.
We could go targeted on. Marketing. We could go on. And on and on about this. What I really hate is how they fucking lie about it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, no, no. Oh, he put a piece of tape over the camera.
Yeah.
No, you're fucking doing stuff you're not supposed to be doing. You fucking lie about it. You know, for so long, these tech superstars were held up as these fabulous, wonderful people. And then you find out, you know, and the further it goes, the worse it gets. Bezos, you know, and not only is he horrible in bed.
I still think that it's that Facebook with Cambridge Analytica is the worst example.
It's really bad.
And all, Bezos, those, you know, all the third data, third party,
you know,
data.
Technology and stuff.
I'm not sure.
Go outside, nerd. Get out. Go.
I'm not sure we got into this, but there are people at Amazon who are very angry and feel that they're being run into the ground with these, well, they're like counts, you know, like the auto workers have. You're supposed to do this amount of work in this amount of time. And, you know, with the COVID concerns, which they didn't seem so worried about. Well, anyway, every one of those people who has really spoken up about it somehow ends up without a job. It's crazy.
And so are you referring to the 60 Minutes?
I didn't see the 60 Minutes story, but I read about it.
It's fascinating.
3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
there was one guy. Okay, this story was really interesting. There was one guy who I guess was talking about starting a union there. A union.
Get out of here.
And so the way this conversation went, I don't know if this conversation was recorded. There were minutes of it that somebody got that shouldn't have. Something to that
effect. Get him out of here. And
the thing was, get rid of him, blow him out immediately. And then the conversation changed because they felt that, hey, you know what? This guy sounds so dumb. Let's let him become the head of this, of this movement. Let's keep this is perfect.
Yeah.
And of course, people were most offended by the idea that they thought this guy was so dumb. But there were many things to be offended about in the conversation. So what happened on 60 Minutes?
Well, the second story was basically the Amazon workers working in COVID, and they had the spokesman for Amazon, and he basically mentioned that it's crazy how Drew just gave Facebook Live the
Why go down 9 people in the last 20 seconds?
Don't obsess over
fucking bullshit.
but he was talking about those people that were, you know, leading the protests and how they've all been fired. And he goes, you should be lucky I don't show you their personnel files, implying that they had been written up so many times. But the fact of the matter is, without a union, they can't just blow these people out. And so what? With cause, so what? Big deal.
Well,
the union.
I mean, that's their stance. It's not what I'm saying.
Anyway, the Mark Lanegan thing was just the whole rent-a-car totaled, or his car being totaled, going 10 miles an hour, hitting a parked car.
He seemed so paranoid during that interview.
Seemed a little overwrought. Anyway, I thought I'd go ahead and say you should read Mark's newly released memoir, Sing Backwards and Weep. Mark Lanegan is my favorite solo artist of all time, followed by the late Gord Downie from the Tragically Hip. Great band. Boy, so huge in Canada. Of course, I was fully expecting you guys to poke fun at him while discussing his interview on the May 10th show, but I hope that you can read his book and listen to some tunes without thinking, this guy's a kook the whole time. Screaming Trees are great. I wasn't aware this solo material was so good, and I'm curious to check it out. Although nearly every article written about him refers to as the former Screaming Trees frontman and frequent Queen of the Stone Age, Queens of the Stone Age collaborator, I feel that his solo albums, released as Mark Lanegan and Mark Lanegan Band, are the strongest of his work. Oh, it was his story about the opening act for Simon, the opening act of Simon Bonney and his violin playing wife performing. What's she doing up there? he goes on about debut solo album, The Winding Sheet, came out May 90, months before Alice in Chains' debut Facelift, well over a year before 10, Nevermind, Bad Motorfinger. Kurt and Chris from Nirvana guested on the album, contributing the songs Down in the Dark, a cover of Lead Belly's Where Did You Sleep Last Night? It was such on the MTV thing. Yeah. Great song. His earlier solo albums were primarily acoustic, have an Americana vibe to them. More recent work delves into the new wave sound he grew up with listening to, incorporating more keys, synths, and drum machines. It's not a sports podcast.
I do not
podcast.
Want him coming out on stage unless he's hard.
You've said many times, it's not a sports podcast. It's a rock and roll podcast. I love hearing interviews with all sorts of rock musicians and book discussions of those written by and about bands and documentaries. Here's some of Lanegan's work. Hope you have some time.
This is a lot of info to process.
Thank you, Joe. No, I'm serious. I am happy about that. And
thank you for the information.
It brings me
a rock and roll
to Bryan Adams.
Oh. And, well,
since we're talking about Canadian music and Gord Downie and Tragically Hip, and what a tragic death that was, and that last tour and that's a great documentary on the Tragically Hip and Gord Downie's death, and you know how he fought to stay out there doing shows to the bitter end. Wow, that's really sad. Really, but what a band.
I'm going to demand an apology from Bryan Adams for apologizing.
Me dude. Oh, is he officially apologized?
He did, but he did one of those, I'm sorry if you were offended apologies, which are the best ones, because it's not really an apology. It's just like, oh, well, I'm sorry you were offended, but deal with it.
Okay. So he is very pissed. And, you know, a lot of people are upset. A lot of people are missing a lot of things. It's not just, you know, eighth graders missing eighth grade graduation. Which, by the way, if you call Tom Mazoway, you can get a parade of every police agency in the world to drive by your eighth grader's house and hopefully make something of it. But
they've got cabin fever.
He had three shows scheduled at the Royal Albert Hall, which is a big deal, and a big deal to him. And so he went off on the bat-eating, wet markets, virus-creating, you know... It was a string of adjectives that were...
Who doesn't agree with that?
I don't
who
know.
Who doesn't agree with that?
And immediately, you know, the first notification I had said, you know, Brian Adams called out for racist comments. And, I mean, people were livid, beyond livid. And then there was this whole string of the number of attacks on Asian Americans, which is skyrocketing. You know, every time they say that...
Well, that's,
I
that,
really,
is
honestly,
that Brian Adams' fault?
But honestly... I don't know how anyone could think that I got to pound ass on some Asian American because of the China virus or whatever. I'm sure there
are, you know, I don't go Chinese.
I know there are idiots who are probably racists and assholes and maniacs and white supremacists or whatever. But are they really? Are we really getting more people who are leaving their home looking for an Asian American to beat up because of Brian Adams said something stupid? Is that how real is that?
Well, I don't know how it works, but I don't think it would work like that. I think it was people don't know where to channel their energy and their anger, so they'll see maybe an Asian person and act out. But I do think it's a relatively small amount of people.
I suspect
the Chinese. It's about China and the government.
This. I suspect the number is very small. I hope it's very small. I wish it would be zero. But I think people that are inclined to do that are not going to it's not that they that suddenly Brian Adams says something go and do it. Yeah. They're already going to do stupid things because they're already some idiot, racist moron.
Like Brian Adams!
Yeah, like Brian Adams! So
which,
anyway,
by the way, he didn't say anything about China.
No, I know!
In his post. Because, believe it or not, there's actually some wet markets here in America. Did you know that?
I just was finding that out.
San Francisco, New York has one. I think New Orleans.
And, by the way, there were some defenders.
They might all be in Chinatown, but they're still...
There were some defenders of San Francisco's wet markets because they were being called out in February, I guess, and somebody was saying, oh, they're perfectly safe. And
it's Chinatown!
I mean, there's always someone who will defend anything.
Do we really need wet markets? Is that something need as a society?
But the most is it really that big of a deal to be pissed off at a wet market that caused all this stuff?
No!
I'm pretty pissed off.
Well, only because it was created in a Chinese lab.
To me, the most maddening thing about Brian Adams is that... when I saw it was trending on Twitter, I saw that there was a flurry of stories about this, what he had tweeted and how, the reaction. And they had strings of people angrily responding. Many of them were Asian American people. And I thought they were ridiculous, but this is how sort of how the story went. And then there were also the people who were suggesting that, you know, the number of attacks on Asian Americans is up. And it's people like Brian Adams who are causing this.
He didn't do anything.
I know, and he just fucking said it, too. And he never mentioned... Anyway.
Anything about China.
So my eyes are rolling so fast. Just rolling and rolling and rolling. And then today, as I realize, oh, yeah, this topic, and I start reading about it, and someone had a more measured report on it, and they were saying that he had... I forgot how many responses and comments... is something like 2,000, and they said that the great, great majority of them were agreeing with him, and they were understood his anger for losing these three dates over this foolishness. And they said there were, and I think I'm quoting correctly, maybe a couple dozen comments that called him a racist and all these horrible things. I'm thinking, so you get a couple thousand comments, and 30, 50 people who are whacked out of their minds, paranoid, living in this ultra-woke world, just go off on him for being a racist. And we have this trending on Twitter, and we have stories written about it. And this, again, is like, is this journalism? Is this really anything close to journalism? What the fuck is
this? I'm not a racist.
This?
That's what's so insane about this.
This is horrible reporting. And this is when, you know, I get so angry because I just feel like that's okay. It's like, it's just accepted. It's the way we do it now.
The reporting is Brian Adams' Instagram post draws rebukes from Chinese-Canadian organization and social media users. Now, this girl...
draws rebuke. Okay, but...
is her last name. She's president of the Chinese-Canadian National Council for Social Justice, which... okay, but it's her job to be offended, right? Isn't that her job to be offended by any little comment?
First of all, I don't agree with her.
Well, no.
I don't think she should be offended.
Many people probably don't agree with her, and rightfully so. Job is to be offended.
Let's just say you
Sorry if I offended you.
And I don't remember the exact numbers, but let's just say you had 2,000 responses. 1,950 of them are, yeah, and 50 of them are calling him a racist. Wouldn't you think... if there's a story here, and there's not, would be that responders, you know, people responding to Brian Adams' tweet are largely in agreement with him instead of the 50 people. You know what the percentage is? 50 people out of 2,000? 50 out of 1,000 would be 5%. That's 2.5% of people who I would say are probably extremely paranoid. And
well, you get a calculator to solve it.
Woke beyond madness. It's fucking bullshit.
Well,
the story should be about they have their heads up their ass.
Well, now, but see, now you're that's the opinion piece about it. I mean, the story is just he made a post, and this person whose job it is to be offended is offended.
We could go through and count the number of people who agreed with him, and the number of people that disagreed with him, and the number of people that said he's outright racist. The great majority, 97.5%, agreed with him. Isn't that the story? Do we always make the story the 2.5% who say he's a racist and go over the top and want him canceled and I'll never listen to his music again?
I'm
going to listen to his music twice as much now to make up for the people who refuse to listen. No, I think it's fucking bullshit. And I think this is just accepted as journalism now and reporting. And it's not reporting. It's terrible reporting. There is really no story. Somebody probably said, and sent something that was misleading to some writer who then said, oh, I got a story here, and probably threw it out there. And the next thing you know, somebody else writing a story. Is anyone writing a story saying, hey, look at all the people that agree with Brian Adams that having these shows canceled is a real bummer? No, because that's not a good story.
Okay.
I mean... are they? Is somebody writing that story? I mean, isn't that a potential story there? No, it's not, because it's not even interesting.
Okay.
And I saw more vicious headlines than just the ones that you gave. Like, I'm
well, that was the first
one. World is on hold. Singer Brian Adams, let's rip at China, blaming bad eating virus, making greedy bastards.
Now you're talking about The Sun in the UK. So, I mean, that's a tabloid.
It's still a publication.
It's not just The Sun. It's lots of people who were declaring this thing. And personally, I wonder how many people complained about the way that they framed that story. Because there you got another story. I bet there's at least two dozen people who think The Sun has their head up their ass. Is that a story? I mean, isn't that just as big a story as their story?
That's the thing. Yeah. Social media generates headlines. The outcry. You see the public outcry.
Any other interesting headlines there, Brandon?
Currently on The Sun?
Other headlines on the Brian Adams story who are calling him out for the racist, a horrible racist thing.
I just wouldn't compare The Sun to the, you know, CBC. That's, I don't know.
Compare The Sun...
in the UK to the Canadian Broadcasting Company who did the story originally.
Well, they're now all the apology headlines. Brian Adams apologizes for bat-eating coronavirus rant.
But see, look at that Fox News headline one that you have up there. Tirade about China. It wasn't about China.
No. So why aren't there people complaining about the treatment in the media, and why isn't that a story?
See, now the CNN headline is singer Brian Adams apologizes for social media posts blaming bat-eating people, in quotes, for coronavirus. I mean, that is what he did. And
so people apparently support the bat-eating people.
But it wasn't a tirade about... No, well, I mean, we're talking about the headlines now.
I'm just extrapolating it to suggest that there's more support, according to the way the story is framed, there's more support for bad eating people and their right to do what they do and to not be called out than there are for Brian Adams for calling out the bad eating people.
I didn't read it that way.
How do you read the story that Brian Adams is a racist and he's racist against China?
I didn't read the Sun one. I read the CBC one.
Which is?
Brian Adams' Instagram post draws rebukes from Chinese-Canadian organization, which that's the lady who is whose job it is to be offended, which is fucking ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous. She probably reached out to the CBC and said, look at how bad this person is, and gave them a quote.
I think the whole thing probably isn't a story,
and we probably spent way too much time on it.
I think it's indefensible. I can't believe there's an argument for the other side, but there is, because people will support
the Chinese Canadian National Council for Social Justice.
But I mean, is she right? Does that mean it's real? I don't know. I guess you could call that news. I mean, how often do they print a story about that organization?
It's also news because it's Brian Adams, the Canadian treasure.
Yeah. I mean, it's worldwide news. It's not just news in Canada, though.
Is Jake Gyllenhaal singing a love song in the age of quarantine on Instagram? Is that a story? Because that was a big story today all over the place.
It's the worst song possibly ever.
If anything, there's just too many stories.
Well, but when you call someone a racist, that's a big deal. You know, it's not a big deal. Actually, we've reached a point now where calling someone a racist is not a big deal. It's like, whew, just throw it out there. And when people are wrong, they never say, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. It just goes to the moon. So, you know, my complaint really is larger than just the story. But I'm sure there are people who are, you know, defending the media for this, or no, they're not defending because no one's complaining. I'm probably the only person complaining about this. Our original studio sponsor, DealsInTheD.com, is now open and honored to help with all your automotive needs. Our friends at Zot Ford, Zot Chrysler Jeep, Zot Dodge Ram, and Zot Toyota consider themselves social distancing and disinfecting experts. Through their showrooms, unfortunately, must remain closed right now. They have perfected the VIP pickup and delivery process. People have leases coming due. You have to do something. I mean, it's really a pain in the ass, but, you know, we're finding our way to get around these things. So go to DealsInTheD.com, choose your favorite make and model, work out your payments online, appraise your trade online, and then pick what time you want to pick your fresh vehicle up. Or, have it dropped off in your driveway. It's that simple, fun, fast, and easy. Brentley brought my car over, and boom, it's my car. And my other one's gone. And all the shit is in a box in the kitchen still. And also, if anybody wants to go for a joyride in my car, I am missing the key. It's somewhere in that car again. It fell out of my pocket.
Great.
Plus, driveway. Drive away. It's that simple, fun, fast, and easy. Plus, as you can imagine, the deals are entirely out of control. Like 0% financing for 84 months or zero due leases for under $200 a month. Or you can miss payments. You can go 3 months without making a payment. Isn't that? I mean, I think liquidity and having cash around right now is a big deal. So, might like that. Plus, several of the dealerships are still closed, other dealerships, not the Zot dealerships. You can renew your lease. You can get out of your lease early with no penalties. Check it out. Surf their massive inventory at DealsInTheD.com. And all the servicing places are also
I want to get in that thing and just drive it right away. Do you mind?
And our friends at Adam. If you're a man facing divorce, you need Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men. Once again, citing Kristen Cavallari. There was a post on Jay Cutler's Instagram Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
This is the best divorce going on right now, I guess.
Well, that and Ray J.
Yeah, I haven't read as much about that one, but I should.
Remember, he needed time alone while she was 9 months pregnant.
Well, she was, 9 months pregnant and making a lot of noise and making him uncomfortable, which is important, too. It's not all about her.
Yeah.
Anyway, not Kristen. Jay put out a post on Mother's Day saying how much he loved Kristen Cavallari and what a wonderful mother she is. And then some people are so mean now, they managed to point out that she controls his Instagram and has been for quite a while. So we don't know how real that is or not.
Like maybe, he cares.
Maybe he's taking control. No, he doesn't seem like he would care.
He doesn't give a shit.
Does anybody want any more catfish?
He doesn't seem like he would give a shit enough to post it in the first place, even if he felt it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He doesn't know how social media works.
I know, really, is Jay Cutler even do anything on Instagram? Isn't that all her doing, using his name, platform, etc., to create another place where she can promote her reality show and her clothing lines and all that bullshit? Well, with Adam, you can get divorced without losing your house or the kids. A lot of people fear losing kids or not having enough time with the kids or losing the house outright. Well, that's what Adam does for men. They go to bat for you, and they know how to go to bat for you. That's what they do. During the pandemic, Adam is offering a 10% discount to healthcare workers because they know the men working on the front line. Unfortunately, many of them will get divorced at some point, too. Call Adam at 248-356-2326, 248-356-ADAM.
Hey, there's other exciting social media news.
About?
Oh, there's that's Gyllenhaal's song. Oh, we can go to Gyllenhaal.
Another day in lockdown as panic grips the nation.
Pause it for a sec.
Another day.
I just want to set the scene. So it starts with, what, 10 seconds of him just pensively looking at the camera, thinking about his quarantine love song. Now, Brandon, when you first watched this, did you know anything about it?
This is my first viewing.
Oh, okay, great. Well, see, I feel like I've already kind of ruined it for you, but I expected it to be a parody song just by the way it started. Like, he was taking himself way too serious, but he's not. He did a love song in the age of quarantine. So go ahead and play this lovely piece of...
Day of quarantine and utter isolation. Thank God I have a window. Thank God I have a view. Across the street, another window. And in that window is you.
Sounds like a number one hit tune, all right.
Day 21, I noticed you. You played the clarinet. Day 24, you sort of waved, and that was how
baby,
we met. Day 29,
fire.
At 2 a.m., we both were up too late. I poured some wine, you raised a glass like we were on a date. A really nice first date.
Like, is he being way too serious?
You there across
really?
The lake.
Yeah, no, I know. You have a stunned look on your face right now.
Know your name, and I don't know who you are, but 60 feet has never felt so close, and yet so far. Day 32,
by the way,
I washed my hands.
Just turn it down, it's really ridiculous. It goes on for another, two and a half minutes almost. And is he acting like he's playing the piano? Because there's no piano, but the way he's moving, he's acting like he did the music, too.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
Wow.
What is the point of this? Is he trying to, does he do music, Jake Gyllenhaal?
I just think that, no, not that I've heard of. I've never heard of him singing or releasing any albums or his sister, but he must be really bored in quarantine.
What does his post say up there about it? What did he write?
A love song in the age of quarantine. This is Across the Way from the brilliant minds of
two people, and no one
chicks,
knows.
Written and recorded just within 24 hours. Yeah, I can tell.
Okay, so this is another thing, another movement online, which, by the way, there was some Tina Fey comedy special thing. There's almost too many special things online that nobody knows about and can keep track of.
Well, I'm pretty sure that Nick Lachey is going to show up to Jake Gyllenhaal's door and beat his ass.
We both know that we shouldn't be here.
Oh, love the song.
At least Gyllenhaal's is original.
I wish I know how to quit you.
He's such an artist. You know, I didn't know that he was a songwriter and such a great singer, too. I think it's so beautiful.
It's really bizarre, this song, isn't it?
Yeah, he's trying to create this lovely image of people creating a relationship without even being in each other's presence because of the coronavirus.
I just wish he didn't include the video about it because he really seems like he's forlorn. And
I wish I knew how to quit you.
It's really awkward, isn't it? watching it?
Yeah. I was uncomfortable.
Can we hear Nick Lachey just once? Now, fast forward a minute. Go ahead, fast forward. If you're going to, somebody gives a bad review, by the way, just for playing this song.
This feels wrong. And baby, it's killing me. It's killing you. They're telling us we gotta stay home. We got somewhere else to be, other friends to see. But if we go outside now, we might spread the disease. So I made up my mind, I'm staying in the house. It's time to quarantine, cause staying safe is what it's all about.
Yeah.
It's the hardest thing we've ever had to do. It's to stay stuck in our house, just watching all this bad news.
It's
the hardest thing we've ever had to try.
A rock and roll.
To stay 6 feet apart when we go outside.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
Was that the end of the song?
Yeah. Oh, wow. You want the full
version. Oh, no. Brandon ended it early.
I was going to say, you
Brandon
cut it
put us out of the misery.
I want to hear the whole song.
Nothing to do, no sports on TV. Wash my hands so much that they started to bleed. Damn this quarantine. It's the hardest thing we've ever had to do. But in the end, it's worth it. Together we will get through.
I wish I know how to quit you.
Wasn't the phrasing?
It's terrible.
What was that?
That was, oh, you're a pussy from Hot Rod.
You're a pussy.
That last line, isn't he missing a syllable or something? The last line of the song.
Know.
And by the way, his hand's bleeding.
Yeah, no, the song's terrible.
God.
And plus he had
we both know that we shouldn't be here.
Plus he's watching CNN.
In the end, it's worth it. Together we will get through.
Remember how upset that person was
that
he had CNN on the TV?
Yes.
That reminded me. When the Blue Angels tweeted out their flight path, the first comment I saw underneath on Twitter was, oh, way to keep Beaumont Royal Oak out of it, because they didn't come up this far. I think.
Yeah, they did Henry Ford, Detroit. Yeah. They went to Clinton Township to go over Henry Ford Macomb, was it?
I think so, yeah.
Why'd they bone Beaumont?
So that was the first comment. And the
Could
one
Beaumont not see?
The one underneath it was, well, maybe if Beaumont didn't push everybody off to the VA, they would. It's like, okay, great. So the flight plan of the Blue Angels is going to start a fucking argument on Twitter now about something entirely different. It's like, this is why we can't have nice things like the Blue Angels flying over our city, because people are going to be jerks about it.
It's
annoying as hell. Nice attitude.
So many people shouldn't have a voice. They just shouldn't. They're not responsible enough. It's a big responsibility to have a voice. Oh.
So what Gyllenhaal, by the way, going back to him, what he was doing, it's a series that was launched in mid-March, and it must be wildly successful because nobody here knew about it. It consists of 7 rounds of original songs that were written, produced, and recorded within a 24-hour time limit that feature real-life stories of those that have been affected by the virus.
Brandon?
Yes, sir.
I'm dying to hear some comments on the Gyllenhaal song. There have to be people who are moved beyond belief. By the way, my hands are bleeding. I've been washing them so much. They're bleeding.
Dude, you have such a great voice, bro.
That's from Lewis Hamilton, the F1 racer.
These first comments are always going to be blue check marks. Yeah. Are always going to be famous people. So obviously those
Josh
ones
Gad.
Are all supportive.
Josh Gad's a
Josh Gad?
Incredible.
Oh, God, I don't ever want to see his record collection. It'll frighten me.
Kobe Smulders, wonderful.
Is there anything you
let's find some real
do?
People. Raven Simone. Oh, I'm ready for a classic musical. It's so great.
Is there a critical remark? Is anyone criticize it?
No.
I'm trying to find it.
Here's
I just keep scrolling.
This one's from I don't know how to pronounce it. Ang Lee? I think that's the name on that one.
Oh, Ang Lee?
I wish I know how to quit you.
Here's Vanessa Hudgens. Oh, my God, I love this so much.
Well, here's one from
really?
Heath Ledger. This can't be the real Heath Ledger.
You really gave my little hole quite a stretch. Gyllenhaal would be so mad if he heard that joke. Do you know he gets really mad about Brokeback Mountain stuff?
I remember.
Still to this day, viciously angry. There's a story maybe a month ago about it. Let me see if I can find it. He was very angry about a Brokeback Mountain joke.
When you put your heart into something like that, and it's
and meaningful. Your butt.
That story was so meaningful. It was so important. It was one of those movies that you have to see. You should see.
My response to it was, Jake, it's a movie. Relax.
Well, sometimes, Mark, when people are dying on their deathbed, the last thing that goes to their mind is a movie scene or a line from a movie.
Ang Lee's or Heath Ledger's was, I wish I knew how to quit you.
You know, I can't even listen to Alec Baldwin talk about the Beatles.
Yeah.
That's how he is so pretentious. Oh, it's awful.
Nobody likes the Beatles more than Alec Baldwin.
No. In 1992, I had sex with the Queen of Monaco. I had my entire fist up her ass.
And no one can analyze the Beatles and their greatness quite like Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin.
And he knows Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr personally. And when he went, he was on Saturday Night Live in 1993, and Paul was playing, and Paul was talking to people, and Alec was so intimidated. And he had a conversation with Linda, who said, just go up and talk to him. Just treat him like he's anyone else. And Alec said, how could I possibly do that? That's impossible. I know, it was just so annoying. Of course, now they've gone on to have a great friendship.
In a recent interview, the actor Jake Gyllenhaal has revealed how her former partner on Stranger refused to make a... There was a joke about a Brokeback Mountain joke, and he was very upset that was going to be included, I think, in some award show or the Oscars.
How would he know about it?
Because apparently everything gets run by Jake.
Oh, Lord.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
He's important.
You don't want to wish upset. I knew how to quit you.
While looking for that, I found the 10 best lines from Brokeback Mountain.
Oh, please. Enlighten me.
You boys sure found a way to make the time pass up there.
Cowboys butts drive me nuts.
Spoiler alert, they were banging. Number 9 is Jack fucking Twist. A repeated line throughout the movie that Ennis says to his companion. I don't remember that line.
I don't either.
Line 8, that picture of Heath holding Jake. Number 8, Brokeback got us good, don't it?
Okay.
I want me some glory hope.
That's when they reflect on their time together after so long. Line number 7, you know it could be like this, just like this.
You a cowboy?
Always.
You a cowboy?
That's what he tells Ennis, that his feeling doesn't need to be fleeting. They could build a life together.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Two cowboys? I don't think so. Number 6, this thing, it grabs a hold of us again at the wrong place at the wrong time, and we're dead. Because they knew it was taboo.
I was so gay, but I couldn't tell anyone.
What number was that?
That was 6.
I think it should have been 4 or 3, honestly.
Number 5, sometimes I miss you so much I can't hardly stand it.
He's the only one I've ever met that can handle my junk.
That's when they
were
older.
How did they think of that? That's because nobody says that. It's wild.
If you can't fix it, Jack, you got to stand it. That's number 4. Whew. That was every time Jack.
Oh, my goodness. Does he ever get him hard?
Talks about how painful it is to be apart. Ennis just reconfirms that they have to make the best of the situation and live with it.
Amen.
Oh, line 3. This could have been number 2. I think we all know what number 1 is going to be, but line 3 should be number 2. You didn't go up there to fish? That was Michelle Williams.
Oh, they are gonna bone. I can feel it.
She said that to Ennis. You didn't go up there to fish? Line 2. Jack, I swear. At the end of the film, Ennis learns of Jack's death and visits his parents. In Jack's bedroom, he finds a shirt Jack kept all these years. Now living alone, Ennis hangs up the shirt with a photograph of Brokeback Mountain.
That is so beautiful.
With tears in his eyes, he says, Jack, I swear. And line 1.
Now that's the third time I cried in the movie. The third time.
Line number 1, of course, is...
I wish I knew how to quit you.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
That is one of the most famous movie lines for all the wrong reasons.
I much preferred how Ang Lee said it.
Oh, yeah, I know. He said it with much more emotion.
Yeah.
And humor.
Why don't we go to 7:32 this morning on Good Morning America.
All right.
George Stephanopoulos interviewed Joseph Biden.
Oh, really? Oh, Biden, by the way, has a new podcast out, and it's not even fun listening to anymore because...
they fixed it?
He's actually fixed it. No more Q&A, by the way.
What?
No more Q&A.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, Biden, you know, Biden comes across very well. He generally does, unless he's completely spacing out or you know, he has dementia or whatever's going on. I mean, he really is very gaffe-prone.
Well, it doesn't seem like once there's one mistake, 13 follow in a row, like he just is focused on the one mistake.
One mistake begets another mistake, yeah. So it seems. But generally, he's very likable. He always has been, in my opinion.
Unless he's smelling your hair. Or pushing you against a wall.
Hey, going back to Bill Maher, I want to point something out. First of all, I don't think this whole Rose McGowan thing, for some reason, is not really catching.
Yeah.
Does anybody really care about it?
Well, no. He's not running to be president, or he's not a public... He's not going to lose his job either.
We still were canceling people left and right for that sort of thing.
That's so 2017.
Okay. But nonetheless, really not much said about it. But the other thing is,
Biden hasn't left that room in like 5 months. He's always in the same spot.
I know. I think they just tell him he's got another interview coming up in 30 seconds, and he doesn't really can't tell 30 seconds from 20 hours.
And he doesn't know if he's logged on or not, so he's just talking to a blank screen for hours.
Going in that room, it's like a time machine. It's like my dogs when they get in the car. But the other thing I want to say about Bill Maher was that he said to ignore the Tara Reid story. Tara Reid, the Biden accuser. And for the most part, I think people are ignoring it. It's like, you know, first of all...
Well, he presented a lot of wacky things that she said that I didn't even know.
About the Kremlin?
Said. Yeah, a lot of that and just some... And how the story has changed her
story. Yeah, because she has submitted the story in the past. It just changed.
Well, let me say this, though, that when stories change... It's so frequently pointed out because this was true of the witnesses in the Harvey Weinstein case. In fact, the girl said they had a consensual sexual relationship after he forced himself on her for oral sex.
I don't think a story means automatic dismissal, at least in my mind.
In fact, usually what is said is that does not mean automatic dismissal. It's almost normal.
Yeah.
And also the business of not saying anything for a long time has also been projected to us as being normal. Yeah. Bill Maher, on the other hand, though, says... he points out a lot of things like that, and he also says that the timing is suspect.
Oh, so what?
Well, but isn't the timing always suspect? Weren't there how many women came forward at once when Trump was 3 months before the presidential election? That was a strange timing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Of course.
Wasn't the Kavanaugh timing strange? In fact, wasn't it held and then released against the will of Christine Blasey Ford by Nancy Pelosi?
Yeah.
I mean, you could say timing was strange for, what was I going to say?
Well, any of them.
The grabbing her pussy thing. That timing was strange, too, because the story was held. In fact, they did not want to release it until October, but the Washington Post apparently didn't know about the deal NBC had with Billy Bush, so they actually busted the story and then...
There seems to be...
So what? You know, look, when you're a celebrity, you can do anything you want. You can grab them by the pussy.
When you're... usually when one happens, though, then the floodgates open because there's a strength in numbers for women that want to tell their story.
Well, I guess she was part of the flood. She was part of the floodgate because she was one of the ones when I think it was six people said that he had done strange things.
Yeah. But at the risk of sounding like Matt Damon, I think they're all one. They pale in comparison to what she's claiming.
Oh, absolutely. But nonetheless, because of what we've learned, I'm surprised that people who normally say, you know, I believe Christine Blasey Ford, women should be believed. And all of a sudden, that's been all thrown out the window. And as far as the media, I don't think there's could be any explanation for what is going on at the New York Times and the Washington Post, where they just simply ignored the story. It just didn't exist. And all of this questioning of, the story's not that good. She told four people that have said, yes, she told me in, was it 1993?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, comparatively, she does a lot of the things that people do. Her mother is on Larry King. I mean, that's not even arguable, although people say, it can't be independently verified that it's her voice.
Yeah.
Who would say, by the way, my mom was on Larry King. And then someone finds it, and it sure sounds like what she's talking about. I mean, that's an awfully big coincidence. So I don't think, and by the way, I'm not obsessed with this story. I really don't think it makes a whole, really makes, it's a big bunch of nothing, really, in the scheme of things. I think Joe Biden would be, I don't know, I don't think he'd be a terrible president. I don't know about his age. I mean, that's certainly something to consider.
Yeah.
But Trump is 73. And we've had, you know, how old was Reagan when he was president? He was way up there.
He always was the oldest until,
but
was it until Trump?
Ronald Reagan!
Was Trump the oldest elected president?
I don't know.
Anyway, the point being that to just say it should be dismissed is so at odds, and the media's behavior has been so at odds, and I'm not obsessed with the story. Even if it did happen, which we can't know, we can never know, we can never know if Christine Blasey Ford happened, we can't know. But when Christine Blasey Ford happened, you know, we're going into the yearbook, the high school yearbook, to find this and that and this and that, to dismiss it. And I mean, there was this, to bolster the case, we're going into the high school yearbook because he said certain things on certain pages that would indicate that he was a drunk or something. I mean, it was an all points bulletin, you know, get it all out there. And Julie Swetnick, this one is just so weird to me that people would print a story the day it comes out from Michael Avenatti. In fact, they took Michael Avenatti's account, not even Julie Swetnick's account, because when she gave her account, she pretty much demurred from the gangbang story. So Bill Maher saying it should be dismissed, that is really not even a thing.
Yeah.
It's not a story. It's not a big deal. Alyssa Milano, a little more so. I've read, but again, they're all, you know, the people like Fox News that do that story. That's not a big story. You won't see it on Good Morning America. You won't see it on NBC News. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to square that with what we've seen previously, unless someone just comes out and says, Me Too is a bunch of bullshit and it's over. And because Alyssa Milano, she calls herself the architect of the Me Too movement. So isn't that a little weird when she suddenly says, I believe Joe Biden because I know him and due process is important. And all the things right. That people said previously about other people, whether it's James Franco.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
And I think Bill Maher's point was, you know, the Donald Trump supporters, they don't care about all the times he's been accused in the past. So if you want him out and you want to be a Joe Biden supporter, then forget about this.
Well, I think it was a little deeper than that, though. I mean, obviously, you cannot even compare the accusations against Joe Biden to Donald Trump, but it doesn't mean that the woman should be dismissed because let's say Trump is running against someone and some woman says that he violently raped her and she had to go to the hospital and she, you know, had to be sewn up and all kinds of crazy shit like that. Should we ignore her because Donald Trump has done worse or Donald Trump has done it more times or the whole idea, the whole point was women must be listened to. Mm-hmm. We must listen to their stories and we must cut them a lot of slack because sometimes they stay friends with the person because, you know, they always bring up that she emailed with so-and-so. It was after the event, you know, with Weinstein. All these people were in touch with him because they all wanted jobs.
Well, Weinstein's a little different, too, in that he wasn't a political figure, so it didn't matter what side you were on and you could jump all over it.
Everyone jumped on him.
For the most part.
Everyone jumped on him. There were a few other people like that.
I find it interesting, too, that Tara Reid just hasn't really told her story very largely, and the only one. Do you see where she did the interview?
Yeah, on YouTube with Megyn
Kelly.
Which you might as well do it on Quibi. I mean, no one's
But nobody else wanted to interview her, except Fox News, didn't want to be on Fox News because she said, "I'll be part of the right if I'm on Fox News." She's a Democrat.
She wanted to talk to Gayle King. What is going on there? Why did Gayle King not just jump out? Over that.
I have no idea because Gayle King, personally, I think Gayle King could have examined it fairly. She could have questioned certain things. She could have agreed with certain things. She could have maybe put it in a better perspective. But no.
We expect more from you, Gayle.
They want no part of it. And what happens, I think, in a lot of these cases is if you do that interview, you are going to get pummeled by the entire left. They're going to be angry at you.
So what? That's not her job.
Well, I know, but it matters to them. Just like the guy on MSNBC who talked about it and immediately Chris Hayes started trending on Twitter. So
there is one big winner with the Tara Reid story. Did you see that?
Tara Reid.
The other Tara Reid.
Yeah. By the way,
the quotes from the story are hilarious.
I don't believe this is true. I do not believe there's new demand for Tara Reid.
There's no demand for her.
No, there isn't.
Let me just read this one column here. A publicist for Reid is ramping up her presence on the motivational speaking circuit to capitalize on the misreckoning because people on idiots on Twitter think that the Sharknado Tara Reid is the Biden accuser Tara Reid. Philippe Ashfield.
She's going to speak, and people are going to expect this big speech about her being sexually assaulted by Joe Biden, and then they're going to get Tara Reid, the actress.
Psych! Talk about her time on Wild On. A literary and talent manager, talent being used loosely, says, quote, Tara Reid, this is Sharknado Tara Reid, is set for a motivational speaking on female empowerment, equal pay for women in Hollywood. After all, she has been judged for being beautiful, blonde, and female for many years before the Me Too movement happened. So wait, that's not an accusation of Me Too. That's not what that's about. She's being judged for being beautiful, blonde, and female. If anything, she was being judged to her favor for being beautiful, which, by the way, not too beautiful, but being blonde and female.
She also got ridiculed for having that weird-looking boobie.
Oh, and her titty fell out, too.
Actually, that was cool. I mean, even though it was weird, I thought it was a nice tit.
So you guys are judging her for being beautiful, blonde, and female. By the way, her talking about equal pay for women, I bet you she got paid probably the most of anybody on Sharknado.
I would say per brain cell, Tara Reid is the highest paid individual possibly ever.
And then he ends it by saying, Tara is set to make a major comeback in the next 12 months. So can someone please set a reminder on the calendar for 12 months from now so we can call this guy and ask where the major comeback is?
I think that's as accurate as... What's the guy's name? Wait. Oh, my God. I'm a complete brownout. John Gosselin saying I broke the internet.
Oh. Who thought I was anything about stripping?
Broke the internet.
Who thought anything
I
about
just broke the internet.
Oh, what a dick.
I know. He's just
she was good in Van Wilder. I'll give her that.
Yeah.
And then it was she was good in Van Wilder.
All downhill. She was good in American Pie. And it was all... Well, was she really good? She was just new in American Pie.
Yeah, she debuted and she was the blonde, so everybody liked her, yeah.
Now, I did like her comment about the whole Tara Reid confusion where she wrote, I mean, come on, I've done a lot over the years, but not this. I don't know Joe Biden. I'm not into politics at all. What's going on? The wrong person to bring into politics is me. So at least she's self-aware about what a moron she is.
But her publicist is acting like her agent that, you know, Tara Reid fits the narrative of the other Tara Reid. She's a feminist who was treated horribly and judged and, you know, and like we're going to just put her in there because even though people are confused and there's really no reason to even think of the other Tara Reid, she fits the whole situation. So she's going to be speaking now about this sort of thing.
I got to give it up for that literary and talent manager. He's really swinging for the fences on this one.
Yes.
That's pretty amazing. Good job, my man.
So let's look at Joe Biden's interview because it's fascinating. I don't think Joe Biden has he done an interview on national TV lately. He's been on CNN seven or eight times, but I mean, really,
Don't forget Morning Joe. Talk about Tara Reid. I think that's the last time I saw him.
Mr. Vice President, thank you for joining us.
I like that generic one football he has and one cube behind him. It's like
these backgrounds are just so fascinating. By the way,
don't you see? Like, I don't think that's an autograph football. I think that's the one Joe just tosses around in the backyard when he's done with it. He puts it back on the bookshelf.
Who is it on Fox 2? Hugh Perkins' partner,
Monica Gale. Oh my
she's
God,
she's still doing her thing in front of all those awards.
Yeah,
still.
Congratulations to her. That's pretty impressive.
I get it.
Yeah, Brandon's got tons of guitars.
Yeah,
and books
I haven't
and
been able to move mine either. I'm going to move them just to show that I can do it faster than Monica Gale.
Thank you, George.
I do want to start with that warning from Dr. Fauci that we're going to hear in the Senate today, saying there will be needless suffering and death if the country opens too quickly. Meantime, President Trump is arguing that Democratic governors in Pennsylvania and other states are moving too slowly for, he says, political purposes. So do you believe states are opening up too quickly or too slowly? If you were president right now, what would you be telling governors to do?
I would tell the governors to listen to Dr. Fauci, listen to the scientists, listen to
nice
what
attitude.
The facts are. Look, this is this president has to focus on what's going on here. We're in a situation where there is a great crisis. Dr. Fauci talks about if we open needlessly, or open soon, there's going to be needless deaths, and we have to have things in place. Everybody wants to open, George. The governors want to open, but they want to open in a rational way. The president hasn't done his work. The president hasn't done what he's supposed to do. He hadn't provided the materials. He hadn't provided the. I mean, this is ridiculous the way he's talking about.
You heard the president yesterday.
This is not politics. This is life.
Wrong. And said that he has met the moment on testing and prevailed on testing. In your Washington Post op-ed yesterday, you accused the president of lying about that when he said anyone who wants a test can get a test. He repeated that at the press conference yesterday.
The truth is the truth, George. Anyone can't get a test around the country. Granted, where more tests are coming forward, but this needless complacency that the president has engaged in from the very beginning, he knew about this crisis all the way back in January and February. He's been incompetent the way in which he's responded to it. We have 80,000 deaths. We have more of the virus than any nation in the world. What's the story here? I mean, come on.
Nice attitude.
This is just fantasy land what he's talking.
For the most part, I agree with what Joe Biden is saying.
Sure.
But there's one thing. When let's go to early March, when the coronavirus was far from known only by Donald Trump. The coronavirus is known by everyone. Mm-hmm. Who is screaming to shut everything down right now? Shut everything down right now.
Wait, when?
Early March.
You and I wanted to shut things down for 3 weeks.
I think we were talking. We probably were talking about it before they were.
But before they canceled all the basketball tournaments.
Yeah, the Big Ten.
Before Rudy Gobert really pushed it over the hill. It really was the tipping point.
On March the 12th, everyone knew about this. I didn't hear Joe Biden saying one word about shut everything down.
Of course not.
And certainly he should have if he thought that.
Yeah.
He's the candidate for the Democratic Party. And this is not just to pick on Joe Biden, but just to point out how hypocritical this can be. Mm-hmm. And I do agree with a lot of what he's saying. But people were filling stadiums to watch those two Big Ten tournament games got played.
Yes, the two on that Wednesday, I believe.
Okay, so did anyone say, this is terrible? Oh, my God, shut the tournament down. Did any candidates say that? Did anyone say, we've got to shut? I don't remember that either. In fact, just to take it a step further.
That's right.
Joe Biden was doing rallies in front of large crowds.
So was Bernie. I mean, we were talking about how nuts
so
that
was
that
Trump.
All three of them were doing.
Yeah, they all were. Yeah. And so he couldn't have felt this strongly about it because he didn't. His behavior
but he wasn't,
shows nothing of
he
that.
He wasn't president. He didn't have all the intelligence and... I'm just trying to think of the excuses that would be
made. Yeah, no, they would say all those things, and I didn't know.
And that's good.
I didn't know it could be transmitted from person to person yet. So anyway, I just thought that was really terribly hypocritical. But again, he makes a lot of good points, and he's doing what he has to do. He has to have talking points that work, and his talking points probably with his crowd certainly would work. Now to say
I should remember that information
that his job is to listen to Dr. Fauci. Well, you know, I'm fine with Dr. Fauci. I like Dr. Fauci, generally speaking.
Wrong.
Dr. Fauci, though, today the Senate subcommittee is having hearings on this.
Yeah,
and he said, I'm afraid we're opening up too soon, and we're going to have, you know, all this people, the hospitals be overrun, and on and on and on. Well, can somebody at least say this, that I want to say that I'm worried about this because the shutdown didn't work. We've been shut down for 7 weeks. We should not have to shut down longer.
What do you mean it didn't work?
Well,
you really think the shutdown didn't work?
No, I think it did work to a degree.
Yeah.
But compared to other countries, we didn't shut down. People were flying.
Yeah.
People were doing this and doing that.
It was a half-ass shutdown.
It was a very half-ass shutdown. So to think that, you know, because we did such a shitty job, we should stay shut down a lot longer.
Problem
or just start over.
I agree. Yeah.
Here's what I would say. If I was him, I'd say, you know what? I'm worried about this. And first of all, it's his job to be worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really comes from, he also has an income.
Mm-hmm.
As does Governor Whitmer. People in government, they don't have to worry about their jobs.
Wait. Whitmer took a 10% cut.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I'm sorry. And I'm not picking on her. You could talk about any government person talking about this and why we need to be shut down. They don't have to worry about their job. They don't have to worry about their business. They're not business owners. They don't necessarily face the prospect of their future earnings being altered dramatically by being shut down another 3 weeks. But here's what I'd say if I was Fauci right now. I'd say, you know what? I'm worried about what's going to happen when we open up, because we still have this many infections coming in. We still have this many deaths. The curve is not as flat as I would like it to be. It's not going down far enough. There's areas I'm really worried about. We have to have a total, absolute shutdown for the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever. I mean, a total shutdown, like nobody does shit. No half-ass shutdown, a complete shutdown. Because to just go along and do what we're still doing, how much more can we? Well, we're really going to do that much better? 66% of the new cases are people staying at home, quote-unquote, staying at home.
So why not just open everything back up?
Well,
I mean, that's really
I don't really know what the answer is, honestly. And I you know, to just openly take shots at people is real easy, because it's very complicated. But to just say that, well, I'm worried about this.
That's right.
Well, yeah, because we didn't achieve. We had 7 weeks already to achieve this, and we didn't achieve it.
The only problem with that is you would never, if it works, you would never know if it works, right? In other words, if you achieve the goal of social distancing, keeping people separate, and slowing the spread, there's really no way to prove that, because you don't have the baseline of looking at if we didn't do it and how many people would have gotten sick, other than the models. And people are really, really do not like any scientific models, because they're all wrong. That's kind of the point of some of the models. It's a range.
Some are better than others.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
The British one that was so popular, he himself said, oh, my God, my model's fucked. And that was, you know, that was a model that people were really relying on for quite a while. So
I don't know. All models are, really. I mean, I listen
but you
back.
But you don't know, though. You don't know.
I listen back a month in the past to our show when we're talking about Florida and all the, oh, my God, Florida is so late to the party. And we were, oh, my God, in a week, Florida is going to be destroyed. And I don't know. Is Florida any worse than Michigan? Is Georgia any worse than Michigan? And
I don't think so.
They took different paths.
I'd love to know how much. I mean, there's no way to find this out. How many of those spring breakers that were just?
Yeah, I would love to find that out.
I'd love to know where they went and where it would spread from Florida.
And if we were better at tracing people, we should probably find out. Why are we so bad at that? I don't really understand that. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people say, Trump sucks and he didn't do a good job of tracing people. But is it his job to trace people? I mean, isn't there a whole tracing operation that exists?
Well, there is. I mean, they're way under. I think in New York, they need 2,500 contact tracers, and I think they have 480.
Whose fault is that?
I don't know. Bloomberg, because he's in charge of it.
I don't, you know, it's all very complicated. It's kind of like the nurse in the Oval Office who said, I mean, you can say mask. It's like, so is it? First of all, I thought that was bad form.
What did
National
she say?
Nurses Day. She was in the Oval Office being honored for National Nurses Day. They had 4 or 5 nurses there. And this one says, well, yeah, it's really great honor and everything, but I've been using the same mask for 3 weeks.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
And my first
get out of here.
My first response was, is that really the place to do that? Is, you know, is he going to go? And if I were Trump, I would say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make sure you have a mask. Yeah. I knew he wouldn't say that.
Yeah. Why wouldn't he say that?
Because he can't be wrong.
Well, you could just say, couldn't he just say,
oh, I'm sorry about that.
I'll make sure you have a mask.
I think the drop, it's not my job, would have worked better. But
that's right.
Is it his job? I mean, is it his job to have a mask for her at this point in time? Aren't there lots of masks? Shouldn't her hospital have enough masks?
It's a very anecdotal point to be made, right?
Extremely. And of course, the other nurse jumps in and says, well, I've got plenty of masks.
Yeah.
So why didn't she just hand her a couple masks? But I mean, it's just very, I don't know. It was just bad form. Like, well, what is your
boss? Response has been terrible by both the government, federal and states, and by the people, the citizens. I mean,
no, we really
seem like
everyone
is supposed to fuck this whole thing up.
We suck.
What are you going to do?
We totally suck. But I just would have thought that maybe, you know, because if you're
hell
really going to...
you un-American bastards! If you don't like America, why don't you get out?
If she wants to bring that up in the Oval Office, I think there's a long... I think it's a press conference, which was supposed to be just a little brief thing to honor nurses. It would have been a long, long, long press conference because you go, well, who's the purchasing agent at your hospital? Who runs your hospital? What do they say about it? What have they done? Have you talked to them? I mean, there's... Yeah. Before you say, hey, asshole president, honoring me today, where's my fucking mask?
Yeah, that's, I don't know.
Maybe, but she made headlines, and I'm sure a lot of people loved that she did that. So, whatever.
Hey, if you don't like America, then you can get out.
I love that drop.
That should have been his
Where's
response.
That drop from?
South Park.
Whose voice is that, though?
That's a Trey.
I love that voice.
Let's hear it again.
No.
Hey, if you don't like America, then you can get out.
That's such a good episode.
Hey, all you un-American bastards, if you don't like America, why don't you get out?
Is that where they were a little bit country and a little bit rock and roll?
I do want to ask you about Michael Flynn, the former national security advisor to President Trump, and the move by the Justice Department last week.
You think Hillary would have been any better?
For lying to the FBI. The president
pause
said
for 1 second. And I mean for 1 second.
Sorry.
I know this story means a lot to people, but it is. It's like so.
The Flynn
story?
We
really want to be spending all this time on this right now.
The Flynn story?
Wow. Can we just take a break and come back to it?
It's kind of important in my mind.
I think it's important, but.
I can digest more than one story at a time. I mean, I took in Jake Gyllenhaal today.
Okay, maybe it's just that. Go ahead. Forget it. It is an important story.
I wish
story.
I know how to quit you.
I'm a targeted Flynn. He called it, quote, the biggest political crime in U.S. history. Your former Senate colleague Charles Grassley has added that Flynn was entrapped and asked on the Senate floor, what did Obama and Biden know? When did they know it? So what did you know
That's
about
right.
those moves to investigate Michael Flynn? And was there anything improper done?
MAGA.
I know nothing about those moves to investigate Michael Flynn, number one. Number two, this is all
Wrong.
About diversion. This is the game this guy plays all the time. The country is in crisis. We're in an economic crisis, a health
you
crisis.
You think Hillary would have been any better?
Trouble. He should stop trying to always divert attention from the real concerns of the American people. The American people are worried with good reason. He has acted irresponsibly from the very beginning. He continues.
I appreciate this effort by Biden, but I disagree. I think most American people don't really give a shit about the Michael Flynn story.
It's probably because I heard his answer that I just felt like, oh, God. Because the Flynn thing is something for people to scream about. It's just one more thing to scream about, and we can scream about a lot of things at once, I guess. But
it's one of those really important things that matters that doesn't affect people individually.
No, not at all.
Does that make sense?
And actually, what starts happening is it has a life of its own because it does have a life, and it grows and it becomes, you know,
one side
will elevated and elevated and elevated.
One side will get very angry about it because, you know, the charges were dropped, and the other side will be exhausted by it.
Does that make sense?
Well, a lot of people feel that this means something else entirely, and there's all kinds of other things to look at.
That's what I mean.
And then also on this topic, and it's probably my own exhaustion. As much as anything, but this Chuck Todd report, I think it was Sunday morning, where he plays this clip of William Barr and then goes on to criticize William Barr, and it was so absolutely horribly edited. I mean, it seemed almost suspicious it was so deceptively edited, and in fact, they admitted it. NBC said, yeah, that was really fucked up. Although Chuck Todd hasn't apologized for it, and I don't think they've apologized on television, which
Sleepy
a lot of
Eyes, Chuck Todd.
So now you got all these people going, I should apologize on NBC and Chuck Todd. I demand an apology.
Fun fact, bloop about the Michael Flynn case. The FBI agent in charge who wrote the notes about are we trying to get him fired or admit to a lie was high school football coach when I was a freshman.
Oh, that's a bloop.
I knew his brother a lot better. But I knew the Priestep family.
Well,
I mean, it's weird because I didn't know what happened to him. And the next thing you know, his name is all over, you know, Fox News and all these stories about the Michael Flynn case.
That is weird.
Wow, I guess he did pretty good for himself after he stopped coaching us.
Yeah, he's up there screaming about this now.
Yeah, and in front of the Senate.
It's a big deal.
It's kind of proud for no reason.
I think going back full circle to South Park, that I honestly, I think they had it best with that.
I'm a little bit country.
There you go, Drew.
Well, I'm a little bit rock and roll. I'm a little for supporting our troops. And I'm a little for bringing them home. I believe freedom isn't free.
No, but war shouldn't be our goal.
We must defend our country.
If it means war, then we say no.
Did you forget them towers in New York? Did you forget how it made you feel? See them towers come down. Were you like me? Did you think it weren't real?
I like to rock, but I don't want to rock. I rock. The only kind of rock in America should do is the kind that we can all dance to.
You got GPS, ICBMs.
I don't know. See, we just need to get along with these guys.
It's funny. I feel like I'm on the same page as South Park almost all the time. What does it say about me?
That reminds me of the whole the line about 9/11. Did you see the uproar about Rick and Morty?
No,
I did not.
We're making a 9/11 quote unquote joke.
What was the joke?
Social media got very, very
only
mad.
Pete Davidson can make jokes about 9/11.
Let me pull the joke up because it wasn't a joke. It was a joke about not making a joke.
That show's so good too.
I don't know if I explained it appropriately, but they
that is Pete Davidson's domain. And Pete Davidson's domain only.
Is it this one here? I don't know if this is the...
Yes.
I don't want to stop.
Yeah, it's like popping bubble wrap.
There it is. They're flying towards two towers.
Oh, okay.
In a city that's ruined. And they're looking at each other. And he goes around the towers.
Honestly, I'm proud of us for not...
Totally. It would have been cheap.
Yeah, real low-hanging fruit. We're better than that. Pearl Harbor, on the other hand.
Yeah, I think that's inbounds.
So the joke,
they blow up a shipyard.
So the joke there, though, is how you can make a joke about Pearl Harbor, but not about 9/11, and people are mad.
Who's,
that they made a 9/11 joke, which they didn't do.
Who's mad?
Oh, just people.
These angry people are exhausting.
One is from a social media critic who said, "Is Rick and Morty still doing 9/11 jokes? Because wow, that's so funny in 2020." And then someone else said, "No, they didn't. OMG, 9/11. Then not Rick and Morty with the 9/11 jokes, laments another. "This season sucks, and on top of it, you're making 9/11 jokes."
Season does not suck. That show is incredibly written. It's phenomenal.
What else did Biden say?
Oh, he's probably still talking in his basement. To an empty screen.
About diverting attention from the horrible way in which he has acted with what he did. He's not we don't have coronavirus because of him, but we have the devastating impact of it because of his lack of a policy. His
nice
lack
attitude.
Of action. It's all about diversion.
I do want to press that. You say you didn't know anything about it. But
is Biden saying it's about diversion?
2017 Flynn. Meeting where you and the president were briefed on.
He said diversion like 15 times.
Well, diverting attention from
Michael Flynn over those conversations he had with the Russian ambassador Kislyak.
Now, I thought you asked me whether or not I had anything to do with him being prosecuted.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, Joe.
I was aware that they asked for an investigation.
Ooh.
But that's all I know about it. And I don't think anything else. Look, think about this. Can you imagine any other president of the United States focusing on this at the moment when the country is just absolutely concerned about their health, the health of their
children? You think Hillary would have been any better?
We have an economic crisis. We have a health crisis. This is all about diverting attention.
Huh.
Focus on what's in front of us. Get us out of this, Mr. President.
Was the Justice Department right to drop those charges against Michael Flynn?
Stupid question.
Well, based on a couple thousand, I guess I saw a headline yesterday, a couple thousand a whole lot of former Justice Department people said the Attorney General should step down. I have been absolutely stunned by the way in which he has not conducted the office properly. But look, I don't know the detail of where we are right now. What, my point is a simple one. Focus on what's in front of us. You have plenty of time to investigate this issue. I think there's nothing there, but it's not a surprise that, in fact, the Justice Department decided anybody who was an ally of the president didn't do anything wrong ever anyway.
He hasn't done anything wrong.
Well, we're on a campaign trail now. You know, everybody says, you know, Biden's hiding. Well, let me tell you something. We're doing very well. We're following.
How did he get in here?
Of the medical profession. We're following the guidelines of the experts, of the Dr. Fauci's of the world. We're doing
no energy.
Well. And matter of fact, we're winning if you look at all the polling data. I'm not saying that's going to last till November. I don't know enough to know that. But right now, the idea that somehow we are being hurt by
wrong,
keeping to the rules and following the instructions that have been put forward by the docs is absolutely bizarre. I reject the premise that somehow this is hurting us. There's no evidence of that. I'm following the rules. Following the rules. The president should follow the rules instead of showing up at places without masks and the whole thing. Look, this is, I'm getting really frustrated with not you, with this. The whole notion that somehow there is, we can just open, we can move. I mean, I'm anxious to go out and campaign, George. You know, when I campaign, I'm usually the first one there and the last one to leave. I enjoy interfacing with people. I'm not trying to avoid it, but
except
I'm
for,
trying
Jerry
to
show Wayne
an example as to how we should proceed in terms of dealing with this.
Oh, my God, do you ever stop talking?
Finally, Mr. Vice President.
No damage so far that I can see.
Whiner.
Allegations from Tara Reid. I know you've denied them, but you've also said that women should be believed. So what do you say to Americans who believe Tara Reid and won't vote for you because of it?
That's right.
Well, that's their right. Look, here, look, I think women should be believed. They should have an opportunity to have their case and state it just forthrightly what their case is. Then it's the responsibility of responsible journalists like you and everyone else to go out and investigate those. At the end of the day, the truth is the truth. That's what should prevail. And the truth is, this
time
never
is up.
Happened. This never happened.
Believe me, she would not be my first choice, that I can tell.
Thank you for time this morning.
How you feeling, man? You doing okay?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking.
Are you a gang rapist?
I appreciate it.
Scary stuff.
It is. Thank you. Michael?
All right, thank
you. Okay.
He did about as would be expected,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, he did okay.
Politician.
Why can't people answer questions? It drives me fucking mad.
Because they don't want to answer a question.
I know, but it makes me crazy. It's like, please just let this be over.
Yeah.
Please. It's like listening to the podcast. One question, answer, 4 minutes, a million tangents. I don't even know what the answer is.
He does need to learn to shorten his answers.
But no politicians really answer anything. They don't. They're not. I don't know why. It seems to me if we had
you
a complaint.
You think Hillary would have been any better?
If we had a complaint about politicians in general, one of them would be that you never answer the question.
Yeah.
Nobody does. And you go on and on and on and on and on. It's so annoying. But where are the polls right now? I see the Monmouth poll says that Biden has had 50 to 41.
Where at? Is this nationally?
That's a national poll.
Likely voter. Okay. Likely voters or?
What is Vox?
Fox is a media group. They tend to lean to the left.
Okay. Coronavirus has older adults concerned. Many are still supporting Trump. President Trump needs older voters to win re-election. Some of his senior aides are now reportedly worried about losing them, in part because of the coronavirus pandemic. According to New York Times, Annie Carney, Maggie Haberman, aides like Kellyanne Conway told the president his internal polling shows him losing the support of Americans 65 and older, who he won by a 7% margin in 2016. Don't really get
I think we have a vote coming in.
Okay. Donald Trump leads Joe Biden in new Ohio poll. 46 to 43 is within the
margin of error.
But still, let's see what other headlines are.
350 million people, and that's the best we can do.
Biden lead is the steadiest on record, according to CNN.
Whoa, fake news.
50 to 41 when Justin Amash is included. Is Justin Amash really going to get votes?
He's not. No.
Why do you say no?
I don't think he's going to have any chance of coming close to what Ross Perot accomplished in the '90s.
No, because he's entering so late.
How does he just enter the fray and suddenly he's actually affecting the president election? I mean, he's just not a person I really think about. But anyway, when Justin Amash is included, it's Biden 47, Trump 40, and Amash 5. Is that just because people go, I hate both these guys?
You got it. Yep.
But he actually helps Biden, or he helps Trump in that particular poll, because Biden's up by 9.
I see that.
But then when he's included, it's 47 to 40, so he's up by 7.
Why doesn't...
Oh, my God. Are people going to kill Justin Amash if Trump wins because he's in the election?
Couldn't you see... And I don't understand why he didn't do this from the beginning, but could you see Bloomberg re-entering the race as an independent third-party candidate?
Maybe.
Are you surprised he didn't do that to begin with?
Yeah, I am a little.
Well, I bet you he's really wishing that this coronavirus happens, a little bit sooner, so he didn't have to do those debates.
Okay, here's so here's a
headline. The debates killed him.
From Reuters, Joe Biden's advantage over Donald Trump has eroded in recent weeks. What? It doesn't seem.
Why not?
Poking like a Monday. I don't know. I just wouldn't think. Because he's not out there, maybe. Is that?
I think coronavirus is going to help Trump in the end.
I can't believe that, but maybe. Opinion poll conducted on Monday and Tuesday found 43% of registered voters said they would support Biden. 41% said they would back Trump. That is according to Reuters, who did that crazy story about the Asian flu. New polling data shows Trump faltering in key swing states, according to Brookings. When the country's attention is rooted on coronavirus, kind of is quietly taking shape. News for Trump is mostly bad. After moving modestly upward in March, approval of his handling of the pandemic has fallen back to where when the crisis began, as his overall job approval wanes. He trails his challenger, Joe Biden, by more than 5 points, according to a recent poll. Okay, so that's Brookings.
Trump's approval rating is at 49% right now.
What?
According to Gallup, yeah.
Because 538, every time I look at 538, it's 43.3, 43.5, 43.1.
That's right.
Where they aggregate all the polls. I'm just going by Gallup.
Biden leads Trump, this is the New York Times, in first poll to address sexual assault allegation. In the national survey asking voters about the allegations, Joe Biden widened his lead over Trump in a head-to-head matchup has continued to grow. Joe Biden's
You have stats that are far worse than the ones that I use.
Is growing nationwide, even though most voters are aware of a sexual assault allegation. 50% to 41%. Oh, they're quoting the Monmouth poll. A large majority of voters, 86%, were aware of the allegations that Mr. Biden sexually assaulted, was accused of sexually assaulting Tara Reid. After Mr. Biden publicly denied Ms. Reid's accusation, Friday Monmouth asked a question to the poll already in progress asking voters whether they had heard about them. 32% said it was probably true. 32% said it was probably not true. 31% had no opinion. Partisan divide in whether voters view the allegations as credible. Surprise, jeez, surprise. Yeah. Republicans tended to say it was probably true, 50% to 17%. Democrats tended to say it was probably not true, 55% to 20%. How embarrassing is this? This is so embarrassing to me that no matter what, you show someone a videotape of something, and 50% will say it did happen and 50% will say it didn't happen, depending on who it makes look worse.
Yep.
It's pathetic.
Very tribal.
Among voters who said they believe the allegation, 59% supported Mr. Trump, 32% supported Mr. Biden. Among voters who did not believe the allegation, 79% support Mr. Biden, just 14% Mr. Trump. Mr. Biden was seen more favorably overall, 41% saw him favorably, 44% saw him unfavorably. Boy, both have more negative views, both candidates. The president seemed positively by 40%, 53% view him negatively. Okay. Well,
I feel
I don't know what to make of that. It sounds like Biden is leading.
Yeah, I use many stats.
So much is going to change between now and November. So much.
I guess so. By the way, L.A. County today said they are staying at home for 3 more months.
Wow.
L.A. County.
That's going to go over
well.
Wow. That'll go over really well. By the way, did you see the one protest down in Florida? This might be my favorite protest.
I did not.
The group of people that want gyms to reopen.
Yeah.
So,
people are actually going to the trouble to protest over gyms?
Yeah, they want.
Are these people that work at gyms?
Oh, I'm sure it's people that own them and work at them. But
I can't imagine somebody
go
going
there.
There's a protest about gyms being reopened. Oh my God, I got to get over there.
Well, they want them to be reopened so they have a place to go work out and get buff
here,
and ripped.
I'll show you because, yeah, last night, Drew, I sent you just a ton of videos. Obviously, you didn't watch a single one. Here's the...
No, you're right. I didn't. I specifically avoided them.
You see the everybody working out?
So, yeah, what they were doing during the protest, Drew, is they were doing squats and push-ups and sit-ups, to which my thought was, well, why do you need a gym then? You're kind of proving your point that you don't need them open by working out during your protest. What do they need?
Yeah, check your email, though, Drew, because I sent you.
Oh, it's an email. Okay.
Yesterday, I sent you an email. I went through Public Freakout again just because I liked
it. I did watch one of the Public Freakouts. I'm trying to think which Public Freakout it was.
I sent you like 15 videos because I could not believe the content on there. It was just hilarious. There's brawls at Red Lobster. There's thieves that are getting slapped up by business owners. There's a fake UPS break-in that's terrible because an 11-year-old boy ends up getting shot.
You know which one I watched, Brandon, and I was surprised that there wasn't more about this? Because it seemed horrible. It was a homeless guy, an Asian homeless guy in California.
Yeah.
Who had a bag of cans he had collected. And these guys, I don't know who they were.
Just in the neighborhood. And, yeah, they were just picking on him.
Yeah, I mean, they were hitting him, actually. They were threatening him, hitting him.
Is this a result of anti-Asian
I don't know.
Coronavirus?
So he's actually got like a few hundred cans that he can't get to because they took the cans away from him. You see all those bags?
Assholes.
Yeah, this almost makes you want to cry when you watch it. It's so horrible.
Why are they doing this?
He said, get the fuck, nigga.
Wait, huh?
So now he tries to get his cans back, and they start beating him with these sticks. To the point where they even run up to him and take selfies with him while he's crying.
Can I ask you something, though?
Seriously, Sheldon.
I'm asking seriously.
Not a good crier.
Why is this, you know, because you'll see a story like this, and it'll be the lead story in the news in the morning. Or it might be... like somebody calls the police on the guys that wanted to barbecue or something. It'll be a huge story. This is the worst, most horrible video. Why is this not a story?
I don't know. COVID?
Brandon?
I don't know. The San Francisco DA has dropped the charges against the people in the video.
When's it from?
I would think people would be livid about that.
Like, when's it from? Where did it come from? I mean...
Well, this is off...
It's a viral video. It's a lot. Yeah. Tons of people
watched
it. So
it's brand new? Okay.
I can't find a news story on it, but.
I mean, who decides these things, and why would this not make the cut? This is and it's also an Asian guy. Well, so it would seem like it fills a narrative.
I don't know. It's also, I mean, this is just missing a lot of context.
I don't have any problem understanding the context. They're trying to steal his cans.
No, I understand.
The homeless guy.
So that's just the story?
Well, we watch him get hit.
He's assaulted. He's crying at the end of the video. It's like, in terms of this type of video, I can't think of many that are more horrible
awful.
To watch.
Awful.
I mean, it's so sad. And then they're taking selfies with him while he's crying. They're just completely.
Okay.
And
I do have.
These
do
are
have
not
the
kids.
Now.
They are adults doing this to this guy.
Yeah.
So the main person, there was a whole neighborhood there, but there was one main guy who was hitting the Asian man. It was a 20-year-old, and...
By the way, I want to mention that the Asian guy is not a kid. He's probably in his 50s.
Yeah. No, he's probably in his 70s.
Is he that old?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing. That 20-year-old was arrested, and the man with the cans asked to drop the charges.
Okay, as far as the arrest and all
probably
that...
Probably scared of getting attacked again.
That's one part of the story. I'm just amazed that the media has no interest in this story.
Yeah.
I would think it would be a big story.
Well, that updates from March 2nd. When was the original story? I mean, that's
I don't know.
ABC,
honestly, I'd
know.
Never
yeah,
seen I'd never seen this story before. The video is... I mean, people have watched the video. It's a very well-watched video. But... yeah, I'll watch the rest of those, Brandon. I'm sorry. I've been overwhelmed. I'm swamped, and so I've been... It's kind of like you with the boner line. You set the alarm for 2:30
You got to get up
night.
At 2:30, Drew.
I completely agree.
I feel like we buried the number one story of the day today, and it's that Chrissy Teigen is back on social media.
Oh, thank God.
Remember she was going to take a break? I think the break lasted, honestly, 8 hours. Because...
I'm back!
that lady. I still don't understand the fight. I don't care to know what the fight really is over, but that lady apologized to Chrissy Teigen. So she accepted the apology and said, thank you for this. To be clear, it never once crossed my mind for you to apologize for what you genuinely thought. Which, by the way, bullshit. The comments stung, but they more so stung because they came from you. It wasn't my usual news break of some random person hating everything about me. So it's because it's somebody that she liked that she was mad at. She couldn't handle it. She tweeted Monday night.
I don't want to hear you whining.
I think you're so incredibly talented and in an industry that doesn't really lend itself to supporting more than a handful of people at a time. I feel like we all have each other. And honestly, for the past few days, every time I saw a shallot, I wanted to cry. What the fuck is going on?
I know. And
what is happening?
She usually is not bothered by people who, of course, hate everything about her. But she said she was so upset because people were putting her on the manifest to Pedophile Island with Epstein and being on his plane. And people were saying her kids were made in a petri dish.
Yeah, her vagina. You want some rock and roll news?
Sure.
So I noticed Tom Petty was trending.
Uh-oh.
Which,
again?
When you click on it, the first thing is I saw Tom Petty was trending, and I was afraid he died for a second. Which is a total joke. No, he's trending because I think it's Hank Azaria originally tweeted out, where is it at? Greatest American rock band. Like, it's just a thing that happened. So now Bruce Springsteen is trending. But yeah, Hank Azaria 9 hours ago said, fairly safe to say that the usually greatest rock band of all time discussion is usually between the Stones, the Beatles, and Led Zeppelin. So what's the greatest American rock band of all time? I know what I think. And so because of that, there's just been a flood of so many people saying Tom Petty that he's trending nationally and Bruce Springsteen, which I think it's an interesting question.
Yeah. I could go with Tom Petty or Bruce Springsteen, honestly, but I got to give it more thought.
Aerosmith. CCR. These are just some of the responses.
CCR is great.
Backstreet Boys. Oh, God. Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Allman Brothers, Doors, AC/DC is not American. Backstreet's
back. All right. The thing about Tom Petty and Bruce Springsteen that I find amazing is that they continued to make albums so far into their career that people really liked.
Creed. Someone wrote Creed. Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, they're great.
Oh, that's kind of interesting. And
I saw a story about Guns N' Roses, by the way, that really was interesting to me. And they were talking about how when Izzy Stradlin is no longer part of Guns N' Roses, how few good songs were written. And Izzy has a co-write on a lot of their biggest songs. Hmm. And I forgot who was quoted in the story. It might have been, it was a member of the band. It might have been Gilby Clark who sort of replaced him. But they were saying that, yeah, his songwriting was fabulous, and he was hugely missed and incredibly underrated. And when they listed all the songs that he co-wrote, it was quite a list.
Regarding Nirvana, remember the battle over Kurt's unplugged guitar?
Yeah.
Remember there was a battle?
Yeah, because his daughter had inherited it, and she gave it to her husband. And when they got divorced, she wanted it back. But however, he said that when they married, his two children from a previous marriage, that she, what's her name, Courtney Bean, or no?
Frances Bean.
Frances Bean Cobain had promised to support those kids for their entire lives. In other words, he was no longer responsible for anything financial for his two kids. That was all on Cobain's daughter.
What a great deal.
Yeah, so therefore, he should get the guitar.
And I hit the Powerball.
Because it was worth a lot of money, and he now could no longer depend on her support of his children, who she had promised to support. Well, no, he was the biggest fucking asshole. I couldn't even believe you would say that. Some people have absolutely no pride.
A judge gave him the guitar in the divorce settlement.
Yep.
And then he also filed a lawsuit against Courtney Love and a bunch of other people because, remember, they were trying to kill him to get the guitar back. Do you remember that? I vaguely remember that story. And so then she countersued and she wanted a psych evaluation. Well, long story short, the guitar is going up for auction.
Yeah, so he wanted to sell it as soon as the divorce was final. He wanted to sell the guitar. And it was all about the money.
He's got the okay to do it. It's going to be up for auction soon.
What a fucking loser. Mm-hmm. What an absolute loser. First of all, if you married someone and you had two kids and they said, you know what, you're such a piece of shit, I promise you I'll support your kids till the end of time, I would say, no, that's ridiculous. They're not your kids, and I'm not that big a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But he, on the other hand,
says, wants the money.
No, you know what? I'm so glad you said that because I am such a loser. I am such a zero. I'm such an absolute piece of shit. My kids can count on me for nothing. Nothing. Ever.
And then Dave Grohl, I don't know if you saw the article Grohl wrote.
Yeah, I did.
Did you read it all?
About live music?
Yeah. Did you read the part about Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah, that was funny.
That was really funny. He was really nervous because before a show in Vancouver, they said, hey, Bruce, Springsteen's in the audience. And he got really nervous, like paralyzingly nervous is what he said, because the boss was there. And then it turns out Bruce was there to see the opening band.
Right, which then led to him being no longer nervous but really bummed out because he wasn't there to see them. But Bruce showed up backstage.
Yeah, and then gave him a no. I mean, it's just a really cool story. If anybody didn't see it, it's in the Atlantic.
Being Bruce isn't easy.
And the final music news is there's a petition to get the Monkees in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Tom Mazzaway is behind that. By the way, there are so many bands that should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame before the Monkees, who wrote virtually none of their songs, and in many cases did not play their own instruments. They had good vocals. Mickey DeLenz and Davy Jones were good singers. Mike Nesmith was a good songwriter and guitar player. Peter Tork was also very talented. But,
yeah.
But the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, until about 50 other bands are in there, give me a break. Should we call Maz on this?
To have him talk about
I think we
it.
Should bring it. It is Tuesday.
Did he make the right petition?
Now. No, but
I don't think
he's
so. It was a change.org that I saw on Facebook.
He supports it 100%, and I think he was asking for retweets, too.
And Angie sure correct him, because I guess he spelled Mickey wrong, because he did hashtag Davey, Mike, Pete, and Mickey, but he spelled Mickey wrong. I think he's now corrected it. We can call him.
Hey, there's a leftover from Mother's Day I wanted to mention while you're digging up Maz.
Yeah.
Down him up. Did you happen to see the picture of Kristen Yelich and his mother that he posted on Mother's Day?
No. Is she hot?
She's smoking hot. Oh, my God, is she hot.
So is he.
And, of course, everyone was just saying, oh, man, I want to ball your mom.
Well, yeah.
It was so bad.
Of course.
It was horrible.
Well, he's probably proud of it, right?
No, I don't.
No, she's amazing. You would never, ever, ever guess that she was over 35.
If that.
Will you pull a picture of her?
She's beautiful. Yeah.
Alicia Yelich.
She's so pretty.
By the way, Kristen Yelich looks a lot like Pete Davidson.
Really?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Alicia, come on. Oh, come on, Internet. Is our Internet bad today?
No, it's been phenomenal.
Kidding me?
Check
fuck?
This out.
Oh, once again, thanks to Charlie.
Oh, there she is.
Damon.
There she is. Oh, look at this.
Can't blow them
look
enough.
At what? This.
Oh, nice rack. There's a headshot. Yeah. Wow, she's very pretty.
She is a monster rack.
Way to go, Kristen. As if he chose her.
Doesn't this dude look like Pete Davidson?
He does a little bit.
I was thinking he looked like Matt Riley for a second.
No, it's definitely that. They've done things together because everybody thinks they look alike.
Cheer up, Jean. What can it mean? To a daydream believer.
Is he still ghosting you?
Yes, absolutely. Openly. He's openly ghosting me.
Jerk. Sound like a weird version.
I don't think so. I don't know.
Hey, you reached out, Basil. Sorry I missed your call. Leave me a message and I'll try you right back. Thanks.
At the tone. Please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Crank it.
Oh.
Mother effer. That's bullshit. Cheer up, sleepy
Jean. Yes!
What can it mean to us?
Maz, we want to talk about the Monkees and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which I know you're behind. I don't have to ask.
I'll fuck you up.
So please call us back. This is urgent.
Got it.
I wish I know how to quit you.
I love anything that's old.
I want to mention... Nicholas. I get some shitty email about this, but I'll go ahead. I don't care.
Oh, that's a good tease. What is it?
What is that? Oh, my God. We have so many great Cops episodes we could watch. I hope we can do that tomorrow.
We could probably do it with the audience, too, I think.
I'm so, so disappointed about all of this business of just letting prisoners out. Just let them out. Oh, my God. That COVID, they're victims of COVID-19.
We can't do it now. We know they all have it.
Well, first of all, we're all victims of COVID-19. We all are being unfairly affected by COVID-19. Just because they got themselves in prison and it's worse there, to me, doesn't. I don't really take much stock in that. Now, if somebody's in jail for, you know, a nonviolent offense and doesn't have a horrific record or something, mm-hmm. I can see letting them out. Or if they're in prison for selling pot or something that, you know, something that's really not going to hurt someone. Oh, some people would argue that hurts people. But you know what I mean? As far as murderers, rapists, you know, those type of people. Fuck no. Are you kidding me? In fact, I was outraged at Tekashi 6ix9ine. Now my asthma is so bad. He's so fortunate he was able to complete that video, by the way, with the terrible asthma that he has in his home with his tether. By the way, when are we going to find him out and about without his tether? Well, how long before that happens?
Oh, any day now. I'm surprised he hasn't. By the way, did you notice in the video he showed off the tether?
Yes.
It's really annoying.
It's impossible.
And he's beefing with Chet Hanks now.
Oh, yeah. Explain the beef, Brandon, because that's huge. Chet Hanks is always on my mind.
I don't know the beef that well. I just know that Chet Hanks went to Instagram and said some shit, and we must have missed it.
But, Brandon, you sounded as prep. I would think you'd be on top of this.
Well, I mean, I sent the link that way you'd be able to read the story to me on the air today.
You didn't vet your own prep?
I don't have the exact quote.
All right, here's what he said. Wait, what did you want to know? Who said what to whom?
But Brandon is so. I can't believe how much work we have dropped on him. He can't even vet his own prep now.
Chet had a lengthy rant.
I don't vet it because it doesn't get read.
I read it. I read it all the time. Don't be fooled by social media. That dude is scared shitless, but has no choice but to laugh and make light of it because he knows he's a marked man for the rest of his life either way. He literally told you on the stand that, quote, gangster image was just a persona to boost my career, only to get out talking about upping 100 shots at the chicken spot. Okay, I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
And y'all still going for it. People see a bunch of jewelry and diamond teeth and numbers on Instagram and actually believe dude is really happy as the fucking living the life.
What in the hell are you talking
all
about?
All I see is fear.
He is, Tekashi, all you need to hear is that audio. What a dope. He's such a moron.
Yeah.
So, he can't talk.
So did 6ix9ine, what did he say back to him? Just wishing your dad a speedy recovery?
Yes, he did. He took the high road, which is very typical of Tekashi.
Oh, he's turned over a new leaf. He also donated $200,000 to Hungry Kids.
I know. He's a wonderful man. I'm so glad he's loaded. But anyway, yeah, he uses asthma to get out. And, you know, he was only, robbing people, armed robberies, sexual assault of a 13-year-old, and, you know, just little stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's good to have him out. Anyway, yesterday, I saw Governor Gretchen Whitmer, and she seemed to me to be lauding the fact that they had tested 12,000 prisoners in Michigan for COVID, of which, by the way...
Now, these are prisons, not jails, right? These are people prisons. Serving sentences, yes. Not awaiting to be... Okay.
They're awaiting, I think, 4,000 for results, but of the...
No, but I mean, they're not awaiting a trial, or they're not in jail awaiting to be sentenced, or okay, they have a sentence.
No, these are prisoners.
Gotcha, okay.
Not jail.
Yep. That's a very fine point, but one that needs to be made.
Well, sometimes it's not that fine, but in some cases, yeah, it's very fine. So, 6,000 don't have COVID.
Okay.
2,000. 2,000 out of 8,000 do test positive for COVID.
Wow.
I didn't really hear what the plan was, but all I know is...
Well, isolate those 2,000.
If you have been listening to Charlie LaDuff for the last 6 weeks, he has been pounding this. Why do we have no plan for prisons? Why are we not testing them? Why are we letting all these people out without a test? Yeah. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people have been let out who did have COVID, obviously had COVID, and they were not tested. And nobody gave a fuck. They just said, get out of here. So for her to be acting as if, oh, I'm so on top of this prisoner thing, I thought that was really disingenuous. But the specific one that is just so distressing to me is Orlando Whitfield, who, first of all, he had two convictions for fleeing and eluding police. Now, they don't even tell you why he was fleeing and eluding, because I suspect they dropped the other charges and just stuck with fleeing and eluding. But he got probation for these two fleeing and eluding police. He didn't go to prison. So then before his probation is up, he sexually assaults a female with intent to have penetration, which means he would have raped her, but he couldn't get hard.
Oh, God.
So for that, and this was a rather violent attack, he went to prison. And in October of 2017, he got out of prison. And, you know, I don't know. I look at these people, and this isn't his entire record. These are the high points. And, again, they didn't mention what was dropped. You know there had to be charges dropped. There always are, as far as his fleeing and eluding, because you don't flee and elude police for nothing. You don't do it twice for nothing.
Yeah.
You're doing something. But, anyway, that's beside the point. We know enough to know what's going on here. So let's flash back to October 2017. He gets out. The rape is behind him. The lack of hard-on is behind him. The fleeing and eluding is behind him. Fresh start. Let's see how long he can go without fucking up someone. Well, he went 60 days. 60 days, he didn't murder anyone. And then he decided to rob this couple, armed robbery, in their home. He shot and killed her. He shot and tried to kill the boyfriend, I believe it was. He's critically injured. I think he's alive, but he must be in critical condition or something, or I don't know what his current status is. But these are alleged crimes. However, the evidence sounds like it's very overwhelming. So he was awaiting trial. He's been awaiting trial for a long time. And they said, you know what? This is so unfair. You being in here for this murder and for almost killing this other guy, and you got this rape in your past and this eluding police and all this other business.
It's so unfair.
This is terrible.
That's just really
terribly unfair to have you in here, because you could get COVID.
Life can be so unfair.
And no one on the outside is suffering from COVID.
Not
Everyone
fair,
else is doing
not
great.
Right.
You know, everybody is doing just fine. It's not a problem if you're on the outside. But if you're in prison, of course, it is absolutely unbearable and completely unfair. And it overrides anything like murder. So we're going to just let you out. We're going to put a tether on you. We're going to send you this crib in Ypsilanti. And, you know, hopefully we can make this up to you somehow.
I can almost see where this is going.
Where it's going is he's going to cut his tether off and he's going to leave the house and he's going to commit a crime.
Oh, he hasn't done that yet.
No, he hasn't done it yet.
Okay.
He hasn't done it yet. No, we're waiting to see how long he can go right now. Just like when we let him out after the attempted rape, when he couldn't get a hard-on.
So is that why all of
that took him 60 days. He went 60. And now, honestly, he should get some sort of a ribbon or something for going 60 days.
It's
not a single crime that we know of.
Probably his longest streak. Meanwhile, all of society is just waiting for him to commit this crime and has this drop on cue.
Yeah, that didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
I mean, can you believe this?
No,
can you?
I can't.
This to me is just unbelievable. Orlando Whitfield is the biggest fucking pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And you know, when I say he went 60 days, congratulations. I'm really being a little facetious.
A little, yeah.
Because on the 61st day, he shot two people in the head and tried to rob them. There are also, I'm sorry, I left something out. There are three other armed robbery charges.
Oh, my God.
Three others.
It's This guy can't.
Forearmed robberies.
Can't function.
Shot two people in the head, killed one, and the other guy looks like he may not have killed that guy. So,
well, if anything,
good for
I
him.
Think people on the outside should be more worried about him than coronavirus.
No, it's absolutely incredible. And do you know, Canada has let some people out that are really dubious, and there's talk about letting Luca Magnotta out.
You know what, though? Brandon and I were talking about this before the show. Now, this is a misleading headline and article, if you look at it.
Oh, I hope so.
Because the headline
he's
is
having a ball behind bars. He says it's like a college campus. He's married, and so the boo-fooing is just out of control. He's having so much fun.
I tell you, he certainly has lost his looks, by the way. There he is behind bars.
Oh, my God.
Totally different. He's not as glamorous as he used to be. But the story is really, this is a Daily Mail story, which, you
what's
know,
the story about Luca Magnotta?
It's also in the Toronto Sun.
They could be misleading. Well, I'd like to see, how's the Sun one written up? Because this one is just cannibal porn star, which, nice description of Luca Magnotta.
Luca
cannibal porn star.
I don't know why Luca Magnotta just throws off my tongue.
Okay, which is not his real name, right?
No,
it's
not.
What he chose.
What his name is.
He's being held in a maximum security prison where an outbreak could result in inmates being released. So they say 10 inmates have fallen ill with the deadly virus, where social distancing is almost impossible, while 16 officers are also confirmed to have tested positive, bringing the total cases to 26. So it just happens to be the jail or the prison where Luca Magnotta is. There's no real no talk. There's really not much talk about letting him out. There's no way they could let him out, right?
I wouldn't think so, but no. Orlando Whitfield? Oh, due process. He hasn't had his we haven't been able to find him guilty yet.
So there's the fine point of jail versus prison, because this guy's awaiting trial for this one fucking case, the one you're talking about.
For shooting two people in the head.
Ludicrous. How about we do
this? Four armed robbery.
How about we do this? Let's just sentence him really fast over Zoom and then put him in a prison.
Well, that's honestly what I couldn't believe. I feel like, well, let's move the trial up to tomorrow.
Yeah.
To put the fucking asshole away.
Why not?
I know. I don't understand it. And the other story about inmates is a few videos have come out of inmates trying to infect each other with coronavirus, drinking out of the same cups. They're trying to infect each other so they can get out saying they have coronavirus.
Well, look, we saw Michael Avenatti got out. We saw Tekashi get out. R. Kelly's trying to get out. This is going to be an opportunity for someone to try to get out. So, yes, getting coronavirus is beneficial to all of them in prison, in a way.
So, fuck them. We all are having a hard time with coronavirus. Unfortunately, when you murder someone or you rape someone, you really lose a lot of options. And
can't they charge somebody with attempting to give coronavirus to somebody?
No, they're trying to get it.
No, I know, but can't you charge the person?
I don't know if the person wants it. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so.
But if a person wants
to be euthanized, that's been trouble.
I read the story today, and then I saw on TMZ, it was the first story, and I'm listening to Charles and Harvey, and I'm just getting so annoyed because they were most appalled by what an incredible gamble these guys were taking. They're trying to get the coronavirus. Oh, my God, you can die. I'm thinking, but they're trying to get out.
Reward.
The chance of dying is extremely small. I mean, it seems like we always are suggesting that everyone is just going to die.
Yeah, the reward in that case outweighs the risk.
I thought it was, they were acting like this is incomprehensible. And I'm like, this is what I expect of hardened, violent criminals. Yeah, of course. Doesn't surprise me at all. No Maz, huh?
Hey, Drew.
Maz! I didn't even know you were there.
Did you know he was? You didn't know he was calling?
No, I thought he would, but I didn't know he had called yet.
I literally just picked it up. Hi, Tommy.
Thank you. That's my favorite song, you know.
Daydream Believer?
That's why I'm playing it.
Yeah.
Favorite all time? Uh-huh.
I love it. No, my favorite Beatles, my favorite Monkey. To a daydream
believer and a homecoming. Maz, what about another Pleasant Valley Sunday?
Oh, great song.
Great song.
Phenomenal.
Did you know Carole King wrote it?
I did. Whoop. Thanks to you telling me that.
She also wrote the Porpoise song.
Oh, it's a great song.
That one I don't
song.
Know.
I that's love a, the Porpoise
that's
song.
That's the best Monkey song.
It's such a great
song. That's a good
song.
One. Yeah. I didn't know that she did that one.
I thought it was good.
You didn't know it.
Yeah. Wait, did you just listen to it in that short time?
He downloaded it into his head.
Remember when we went and saw Mike Nesmith and Mickey Dolenz?
Yeah.
At the Royal Oak Music Theater with,
absolutely.
With Rudy and Matt Riley and you. It was fun.
Wow, I can't believe you remember everyone.
Sounds like the Chris Farley show. Remember that time?
Thanks, Matt and Drew, for taking me.
I enjoyed the show.
Remember,
you're welcome.
Beatlemania?
It was great. Royal Oak Music Theater.
You remember when you were with the Beatles?
I think Matt actually paid for your tickets, I think. Or
I know. He's great. He's the best.
Okay, so there is a
petition. Did you see Die Hard?
There is a petition to get the Monkees in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I just wanted Maz. Okay, can you make some kind of a statement as to why they deserve to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Because they were part of my childhood on television and on the radio, and I thought they were just bigger than life. And I loved their, bought their shirts, you know, the double-breasted shirts. I had like two or three different colors. I even dressed like the Monkees back when I was a kid.
But, Maz, that doesn't seem like a reason that they should
be
in
there. It's my reason, Drew. It's my reason.
Okay. Well, for example, let's take Judas Priest. Should they not be in the Hall of Fame because they didn't have a TV show and you didn't wear their shirt?
I don't know any of their music.
What about, I'm trying to think.
Todd Rundgren. He's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
He just got in. Didn't he just get in?
Oh, is that right? Yeah, he was nominated last year.
Maybe he said, you know, F you, musical. I don't need to be in. I forgot. He was one or the other.
What about Tommy? You don't like Pearl Jam? They're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, they don't do anything for me. Don't do anything for me. In other words, there's a lot of bands in there that, from what I understand, really, you know, should be checked again to see why are they in there. The Monkees have every right to be in there. They were entertainment. No.
So you would like to see some people removed to make space for the Monkees?
Yes. Absolutely.
Why don't we just make a Tom Mazzaway Music Hall of Fame, and then all those people can be in there.
I can fill it right now with you. I'll put David Cassidy in there. I'll put the Partridge Family in there. I'll even put the Brady Bunch kids in there.
Bunch kids? Did they do a song?
Yeah, come on, get happy. Yeah.
Okay, would you say...
Oh, no, that's Partridge Family, isn't it? Come On, Get Happy.
Yeah, that's a Partridge Family.
Come On, Get Happy.
I Think I Love You was their big hit.
I Think I Love You was great.
What am I so afraid of?
Don't forget that Christmas song.
Is that Danny Partridge playing that solo?
I'll go for a walk outside. Son's calling my name. I just can't live inside all day.
What's Greg got?
Come on, get out. Give me some of those rays. Everybody's smiling. Sunshine day.
Everybody's
smiling. Okay, Maz, you want the Brady Bunch in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, correct?
Mark said he's giving me my own.
The Maz Hall of Fame.
I would put them in.
All right, okay. Seriously, Tom. This is first ballot. Top five, first ballot, go. Tom Mazzaway, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, they're already in, Mark. The Beatles, obviously, you know.
Well, this is your Hall of Fame, though.
This is your
Manilow. Manilow's not in there.
He should be, for Christ's sake.
So Beatles, Manilow, Monkeys. You want Monkeys first
ones? Yeah, put the Monkeys in there.
See if you remember
put the Partridge Family in there.
What would you say, Partridge Family versus Joe Cocker?
Oh, I go David Cassidy all day long. All day long.
Okay.
No, didn't Joe Cocker sing the
theme
Wonder
to the Wonder Years, yeah.
The Wonder Years, so I got to put that one in. So that one's got
to
be.
This is really the Tom Mazzaway TV Music Hall of Fame. They have to be in both. That's kind of what I'm gathering, right?
You got it, Mark.
Ricky Ricardo,
he was terrific.
Ricky Ricardo.
Oh, he played the bongos.
Yeah, he was a great drummer.
He could go in. Yep. I'm trying to think of who else played music on their show.
How about Joey Scarberry for the
Greatest American Hero?
Greatest American Hero. I mean, that was
Greatest American Hero is very good, but he was a one hit one.
I know there's more shows where they had a band or somebody had a band. Oh, Ricky Nelson.
Oh, I love Traveling Man. It's could be my all time favorite song.
Really? What about what about Garden Party?
Garden Party is good, but second best to Traveling Man.
Okay.
How about the Banana Splits? Should they be in?
Oh.
I dug the Banana Splits. They made music. Stuff. Yeah.
I think they wrote their own songs.
I think that was wasn't that like a dream of a guy that was just completely high?
Probably. Jimmy? Hannah or Barbara?
Maz.
And the flute.
I have a huge one. The Archies.
Okay. Drew, you hit it. Sugar, sugar. Oh, my goodness.
Sugar, sugar is a great song.
He's so excited.
And you know they reinvented the Archies on TV, teenage-wise?
On Netflix?
Yeah.
I did know that.
Carnival presents the Archies.
Take care of the kissing booth while we're singing, Sabrina.
Okay, everybody. Here we go with our new hit record, Sugar, Sugar.
Hey, number one on the chart. Number one.
Sugar.
How about Spinal Tap?
Hey,
Spinal Tap.
How about Girls Need a Pussycat?
Yeah, they should be in there.
Spinal Tap.
Josie and the Pussycats.
Don't know.
I'm just asking about Spinal Tap.
Maz, can you name an Archie song besides Sugar Sugar?
I'm trying to think of the other side of that 45 with the orange label on it.
Wasn't there? Wasn't Jingle Jangle a big hit?
Might be. If I heard it, I would know.
Mark,
it was
can you
a
play
hit.
Jingle Jangle?
Yeah.
By the Archies.
But Sugar Sugar was the only one that charted number one.
That's the Monkees, Porpoise song.
Oh, sorry. Stop it. I don't know why that started playing.
Yeah, this was not a hit, Drew.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive.
There's another hit by the Arch.
That's not it.
Oh, man. Wait, chart performance. Hold on. It was number one in Canada.
Wow.
U.S. Billboard Hot 100, number 10 for Jingle Jangle. Maz?
Tom?
Maz?
Oh.
What happened to Maz?
Oh. Did he hang up? Because
I put you on mute because I wanted to ask Lily the name of the Archie song now. The Archie show is Riverdale.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Riverdale.
Lily!
Awesome. Maz, I hate to even bring this up because it's so sad, but we lost Jerry Stiller.
No, I'll bring it up.
Maz, but you got it. You have to eulogize Jerry Stiller.
I eulogize him today on the rap. You might want to tune in.
Who was the guest today?
Yeah, did you have someone on to talk about it?
It was me and Clarence, and then Slippery Pete Spivak called in for a few minutes. Between traffic report.
Pete Spivak, and what was Pete calling in about?
About Jerry Stiller. Me, Pete, and Dan Gutowski, formerly of WWJ back in the day. Every day, we text each other Seinfeld quotes, and then the other guy always has to follow up with the quote that came next and go from there.
And where was Pete working at the time?
Pete is working at Total Traffic right now.
No,
is that where he was at that time?
No,
Pete,
I think
Pete used to work together at 1270.
You're saying you guys still do that today?
We still do this today.
Yeah. Yeah, they still send each other quotes.
Do you think Pete was a relatable guest for the Raps audience?
Yeah, well, you know what? Yeah, I think so. I think they expect those kind of guests.
So that's why Drew got bumped again?
Yeah, well, Drew, I got to find something that's in Drew's wheelhouse.
Well, you talked about The Last Dance with Chuck Swirsky. I mean, you could have Drew on for that.
The
huh?
The voice of the Bull.
Well, yeah, but Drew is a fan.
I understand, but now we're able to get every single fan on.
Who is a bigger pull? Who is a bigger pull for the Rap with Maz? Me or Swirsk?
You, for sure.
Well, Maz, doesn't that count for anything?
It does, Drew. I'm just waiting to get something in your wheelhouse.
Now, episode 106, Maz and Clarence shed new light on Jordan and the Bulls. It doesn't seem like you had a guest that day, so...
We didn't. We just talked, you know, from our experiences and reading over the years.
That hurts.
This
Drew.
Is such. It's. I've never been. I've never been openly ghosted like this before.
Drew, you're not ghosted. You're always in my thoughts. Always.
What a lie.
True.
Is there a parade of police agencies coming by the house anytime soon?
We had Abby's 16th birthday on Sunday, and we did have a little parade. It was a nice parade, bigger than Maddie's, actually.
Awesome. Which police agencies participated?
Well, St. Clair Shores, but they were very busy, so we only had one car.
Yeah, oh. I'm a police officer.
Do you think that was could that have been a hint?
Yeah. Next time it'll be an officer on a bicycle.
No, no hint.
Next time, after that, it'll be just one walking down the street.
We're going to have the fire department and an ambulance as well.
You're going to get a meter maid coming down.
Wait.
Little car
on a Segway.
There was a fireman? A fire truck?
No, I said next time in September for Lily's 18th, we'll really break it out.
Wow.
That's exciting.
Lily!
You better not need a parade then.
I know. But you know what? I'm telling you, this parade thing can go a long way. I'm telling you why. Now families don't have to worry about who they invite to their kids' birthday parties because you always leave kids out. Now you just lay it out there and say, hey, just drive by the house and everyone's invited.
Wow,
I'm doing
you
a favor by
that's
doing these
not
things.
Really a party, though. How long does that last? 5 seconds?
I know. A couple seconds. It's fun.
Believe me, I'm all
in
for that.
Out. Very little traffic in the house.
That is cool, actually. The little traffic in the house, that's pretty cool. I like that.
It is cool. It is.
Oh, man.
Is that C.W. McCall?
Yes.
Yeah. For sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Taco Town. Yeah, we definitely got us the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive. Looks like
let's get to Maz's house.
Convoy!
Oh, man. We got ripped off today by the car dealer, by the way.
What happened?
Wow, that was quite the segue.
Well.
What happened?
I just wanted to give you a story, that's all.
No, I'm all for Maz.
Yeah, how do we get ripped off, Maz?
We took Kathy's car, her van, minivan, to the Honda dealer. Like we always do. Like most of we do.
What, you didn't get Kathy a vehicle from Zot Ford?
No, we
or America?
We've had a Honda Odyssey. We have other American cars.
I see.
We have other American cars. This was a long time ago, Drew. This was a long time ago.
I was taking a brief tangent.
This is a 2011.
Sunday is...
Hey, if you don't like America, then you can get out.
Sunday is Lily's birthday?
No, we had Abby's birthday last Sunday, the 10th.
Okay, she turned 16, right?
Yes.
And what did you do about the car she's earned?
She hasn't earned anything yet because she hasn't got her license because of the quarantine, she can't get her license yet.
Oh, okay. So she gets her car when the quarantine ends?
I'll share my car with her.
Oh, she's going to drive your car?
Yeah, I let the girls drive my car a lot.
What about Grandma's car?
They drop you off at the wrap?
Grandma, we drove Grandma's car yesterday because we had our car in the shop, so we had Grandma's car.
Well, what did Grandma do?
Yeah, what did Grandma do?
What if she needed to go to the grocery store?
Hi, Grandma!
I take care of her. I go to the grocery store for her.
I see. Well, she didn't have a car.
Maybe she wants to get out and enjoy the sun and see the Blue Angels, but she couldn't. She took her car.
I told her to give me a call, and I'd come over and pick her up.
Okay, Maz.
I'll be over in like 8 hours, Grandma. Just wait on the porch.
Sorry, Granny.
Maz, because you do an all-sports podcast, I know you're going to be up on this. Major League Baseball now is presenting a plan to start the season the 4th of July.
Correct.
And they will play a shortened season, but I guess, can you explain exactly how this works? Because I'm interested in the Champions Club and how many games I'm going to watch up there.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, all right, I'll see you guys there.
I'm sure there's not going to be any fans, unfortunately, Drew, at least not for a while yet.
Then I'm sure they'll be sending my refund any second.
They will.
You mean
what
Tom's?
What they'll do is they'll roll it into next year's Champions Club for you.
They've already offered to do that.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's so nice. And that way I don't have to worry about my money. They'll hold on to it the whole time.
Yeah, they got it. Yeah, they're going to invest it for you.
Okay, well, to that point, Tom, as a fellow Catholic, you saw that Mass is going to resume in Metro Detroit soon with social distancing. Are you going to be at the first Mass?
I'd go to Mass again. We've been watching on TV every week, a couple times during the week.
St.
John puts out a great 35-minute Mass. It's beautiful.
I know, 35-minute Mass. So basically you like it because it's shorter and you can watch it from home.
It is shorter. You know, you're comfortable. You're sitting on your couch.
Do you make the girls watch Mass?
They watch Mass. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
On Tuesdays especially, it's a school Mass on Tuesday morning.
Oh, so they have to.
Well, we all do it as a family. We sit down and we watch it. But, yeah, they ask. That's a school Mass.
Everybody's going to church, God damn it.
And how often do you look at your phone while watching Mass
I don't,
on TV?
Nope. I put the phone away.
I don't believe it. Okay, what time is Mass?
It's at noon.
Okay.
Noon what day?
noon.
I don't believe that.
Tuesday?
Okay. I'm going to call
you. Tuesday's at noon, and then on the weekend, you can watch it on demand.
Tuesday at noon, anyone who knows Tom, please text him during Tuesday noon mass. Let's see if he answers anyone.
Because he's going to forget, and he's going to think there's an emergency.
Hallelujah.
Text him only stuff
that... Son of a bitch.
Text him only stuff that's old. So he can't resist.
Or hot chicks.
Oh, I love hot chicks.
I know, you love them.
Maz, what about, Major League Baseball, July 4th. How is that going to work? Are they going to have different divisions, or how will we do that?
I think they're going to go with the three divisions that they played out, and they're going to have the DH. All teams will use the DH, the universal DH.
What?
Which I love.
What about the stats?
Really?
The stats are going to be whack now, Drew. You know, the pitchers aren't going to hit. At least that's the way they put it out the first time here. So who knows if they voted in or not. It's going to be 80 games or 82 games. They'll play a lot of doubleheaders. It'll be confined to the warm city.
Is the players' union, are they okay with this?
I don't think they voted in it yet. No, they proposed it to the players' union. Of course, Tony Clark and these owners want to pay less money to the players during this.
Yeah.
So now the players are striking back, saying, "What are you kidding? We're not playing under a salary cap."
Wait, the owners
are saying it's not a salary cap.
The owners want to pay less than 162 game season.
Yeah, they're paying right now. I don't think anyone's getting paid.
They're sharing $170 million among 30 teams, which isn't much for them.
Laughable.
So they want to pay them less because there's no fans.
Yes. Correct.
Have they come
fans
up with
are at least 45%? I think I heard. Oh. Of the revenue.
And how much less would they pay him?
A substantial amount. Supposedly talking about almost like a salary cap.
Ooh.
Which I would not mind in the future, to be honest with you.
I don't know if the players are going to like that.
They won't.
Can you imagine all the new revenue streams they're going to come up with in the next couple of years?
Oh, yeah.
I think somebody will be wearing Drew and Mike show on their jersey in the next couple of years.
Hopefully. WNBA. Could it be like the WNBA?
Yeah! All right. what did you think of the WNBA draft, by the way? Did we ask Maz about the draft yet?
You did.
You caught the first couple picks.
Okay. Yeah, just the first few picks I watched. Other than that, that was it.
All right, Maz, continue to do the killer job you're doing, the rap with Maz. I'm going to check out the show when I get off.
And the killer job ignoring Drew.
Yeah.
Drew, when do you want to come on? Just let me know when you're on.
Not until you have a topic you're comfortable with.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Tom, I have one more question. The Joe Tessitore, he got blown out, which I think we talked
about. I feel bad about that.
Well, okay. I think he'll be fine. You probably feel worse than Tessitore does.
No, I like Joe Tess calling my game.
Are you surprised?
No, because he got blown out because they stuck him with Jason Witten, and then they gave him Booger McFarland. He had no chance.
Was it a package deal? There was a key man clause in each contract?
Well, they killed his mojo.
Do you think
they killed him?
Maz, people are saying it was sabotage.
It was. Someone didn't want Joe Tess in there.
That's unbelievable.
Now, somebody was working.
That mojo, bitch.
Someone was working on a theory that you really like Joe Tessitore mainly because whenever you needed a guest, he was available.
He is available. I do like Joe, but that's not the reason. Because I like Sean McDonough. He was available to me.
But Sean McDonough.
I got him too.
Sean McDonough is a good broadcaster. I don't know why he got kicked out. I thought he was
pretty
good.
Because he spoke ill of the games. Remember, he had a shitty game. He's like, "Well, we got a beauty here." The NFL didn't like that.
That's really dumb.
I like Brian Greasy and Steve Levy. That'll be your combo.
That's what's going
to
be.
Have to put an African American in there, so Lewis Riddick will probably get it.
Oh, he's terrible.
Yeah, Brian Greasy's real good.
What about Orlovsky?
Yeah, he's in talks. They're talking about him.
He's too much. He's too much. For me, it's just too much.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So you think he has
strong words?
You think he has no shot, Maz?
No, he has a shot. He's very outspoken, but I think it feels like a forced outspokenness.
Interesting.
That's my take on him. Yeah. You know how you voice pushers? You don't like voice pushers?
No, I don't.
You heard it here first.
I don't like the Orlovsky, mannerisms, the way he pushes shit out there.
I can't wait to listen to him. I didn't know he pushed his voice like that.
You heard it here first. He is too much.
I know what I wanted to ask, Tommy.
Go for it, Brian.
What did you do for the Kentucky Derby? I don't think you told us.
I had a great day for the Kentucky Derby. We were outside. It was a beautiful day. Went inside. I watched the virtual derby. I picked the winner, Secretariat. Well, a lot of people did, but I picked him, and then I watched the Arkansas Derby after that. I lost some money, but I had some fun.
We had
our flag out. We had our Derby flag out.
Do you remember, Naz, do you recall if you sent a card to Secretariat when he died?
No, I didn't. I didn't. He died. Yeah, I didn't. I messed up. Barbara was the last horse I sent.
Wait, what about, wasn't Big Brown, didn't Big Brown die? Wasn't that a horse?
No, Big Brown just quit in the Belmont. He just stopped running.
Oh, so did you send him? Did you send him an angry email?
I didn't. I felt bad for him.
How dare you quit?
Maz, a lot of people are wondering about J-Lo buying the New York Mets with A-Rod. What do you think the chances are?
It's blown out already.
Did you hear that it broke down over apparently A-Rod wanted his own concession stand?
I've been telling you. He wanted to get these concession stands going at Citi Field.
Wow. Do you recall which concession stand he has at Yankee Stadium?
He's got a couple of them. They're secretly placed in there. I remember I took a picture and sent it to you at the time I was at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. Wow.
They're all over the place. He's got little secret places.
Yeah, somebody got...
Well, that's not very good to sell merchandise if they're secret.
But somebody people know what they are. Oh. They just don't know it. It's A-Rod.
Somebody got a picture of him.
I saw him a couple times.
Somebody got a picture of him counting money in the back room.
Yes, he's peeking out. We saw him peeking out.
All right, Maz. We'll look forward to the wrap with Maz, and you have a great night. Okay,
good
man.
Good to talk to you all.
We'll see you, Maz.
See you guys.
All right, brother.
Hi, Tommy.
Thomas. Bye. Hey, Mazaway. Lifelong Monkees fan.
And professional ghoster.
He loves The Last Train to Clarksville.
I can't believe he's ghosting you like this.
I know, it's unbelievable. Openly.
I don't think he wants you on his show.
I don't think he does either. Maybe it's too challenging.
Oh, is he? You think he's afraid you'll just take over the show?
Possibly.
That's what a good guest does.
He said I was a bigger draw than Swirsk.
Chuck Swirsky, by the way, half of the inspiration for Chet Chit Chat, right?
Yeah. Yes, he was part of that. Chet Kopic was the main one.
Yeah.
No, no, no. All right, we got to get out of here. Man, almost pushed 3 hours again. Holy smokes. I do want to mention on the way out, though, that Lindsey Broadwell is now a sponsor on the ML Elric show. And if being locked in made you realize your house is too small or you're looking to move, it's time to call our new realtor sponsor, Lindsey Broadwell, because when it's time to move into a new house, whether you're selling, buying, or both, you need to contact Lindsey Broadwell. Your house is one of your most valuable investments, and that's why you need an agent you can trust that knows the business inside and out. Lindsey was at Hall Financial, and Hall Financial, what a great training ground Hall Financial would be for this. And now she's an expert in real estate. She will make sure you get the most out of your house and that everything goes smoothly by finding a new home that fits your lifestyle. Buyers, sellers, especially first-time buyers, contact Lindsey at BroadwellHomes.com or 248-767-7767. She's a licensed realtor at REMAX Nexus. That's BroadwellHomes.com for Lindsey Broadwell. She sponsors Facebook, doesn't she?
Yes, she has. We rotate them, yeah.
Because I saw a little picture in the bottom left, and I couldn't really make out Lindsey too well on my little phone.
Will be a new episode posted tomorrow for ML Solo Detroit, and we had on the guy who was yelling between the two police officers at the protest up at the Capitol building, who a lot of people thought was a protest actor, racist guy from California, and then Brian came out and said, no, that was me, here I am, and he expressed his viewpoint. And
was he carrying a weapon?
I don't think he was carrying a weapon, but he will not wear a mask.
Why won't he wear a mask?
Because he thinks it's a lie. He doesn't believe in the virus.
He doesn't think the virus is a lie?
Well, he doesn't think that you... He also has trouble breathing, and it's a whole thing, and I think it's worth listening to.
Wow. I had no idea. That's a huge get for the soul of Detroit. And we'll see you tomorrow.
See you!
That's right.
Ah!